Hey, this is Linda Bott, and let me tell you about our North State Now show on Thursday nights at 6 p.m. right here on KCNR. The first Thursday of the month will be yours truly, covering arts and entertainment and all kinds of fun stuff. The second Thursday will be Michelle Slade, highlighting and interviewing North State heroes. The third Thursday is James Masada and Rhonda Alvey, bringing you all things with Enjoy the Magazine and Enjoy the Store. And the fourth Thursday from Shasta Regional Medical Center is Dr. Orna Gill, covering all things women's health. The title sponsor for North State Now is the Reading Civic Auditorium, also brought to you by the Black Bear Diner, Shasta Regional Medical Center, and Carlene's Restaurant and Bar, located at 1100 Center Street. That's North State Now, right here on KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. 6 p.m. North State Now.
Hey, welcome. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Got a lot to get to today. A little bit later on in the show, we are going to get to the mailbag. We are also going to get to Elizabeth Warren saying weird things. But we begin with a brief recap of my speech last night at Stanford. The Stanford left had attempted to shut this thing down for a while. I mean, they were ripping down posters and putting up little notes about how I was going to assault minority communities and I was going to incite violence against minority communities. And my speech was actually about the convenient alliance between the radical left and the alt-right. There is this sort of newfangled alt-right thing that's happening in which a bunch of people who are basically white supremacists pretend that they are actually just kind of normal Trump supporters, even though they overtly say radically racist, radically anti-Semitic, overtly white supremacist things. And then they've been going to various college events for people like Dan Crenshaw or Charlie Kirk or Matt Walsh. And then they've been asking idiotic questions to them and disgusting questions to them in an attempt to show that they are the true conservatives. I talked about that and how the fact is that the left loves that. Well, they love it because their entire goal is to lump in the entire mainstream right with the alt-right. So that was the topic of the speech. So it was sort of an awkward moment for the left, I will say. It was an awkward moment because as I am doing a 35 to 40 minute speech about the evils of white supremacism and how racism is evil and how people who hijack conservative language in order to promote racism are disgusting, as I'm doing that, a bunch of these idiot lefty students who just, I mean, beyond having no manners, are just stupid. They get up in the middle of the actual speech, and they decide it would be a good time, like, while I'm ripping Nazis, while I'm actually ripping white supremacists, they say now would be an excellent time to get up and protest. Here's a little bit of what it sounded like.
A question. Guys. Okay, I have one question. Are you protesting the part where I'm condemning the Nazis? Like, you hear what I'm doing right now. Do you have ears? I'm literally condemning Nazis, and you're telling me to leave. Do you hear yourselves? I gotta be honest with you. I'm extraordinarily puzzled. I'm standing up here bashing the living out of Nazis, and they're telling me I have to leave over it. What's a guy got to do?
And it is astonishing. The left is so all-fired interested, and the hard left is so all-fired interested in lumping everybody on the mainstream right in with the white supremacists that they will literally get up and shout for people to leave while they are ripping white supremacism. And it does show the agenda of the far left. And by the way, it extends over into the media. The Boston Globe last week suggested that the Daily Wire was an alt-right outpost. We forced them to retract. That follows on The Economist suggesting that I'm an alt-right sage. We force them to retract. It just is incredible. I thought that was worthy of note, and it does demonstrate the complete disconnect from reality that is being had by so many people on the radical left, including in the mainstream Democratic Party, unfortunately. Okay, meanwhile, the big news of the day is that Michael Bloomberg is jumping into the race. Ooh. Now, is that really big news that Michael Bloomberg is jumping into the race? You mean his delusional billionaire from New York is jumping into the race? It's not particularly shocking. Bloomberg has been talking about it for a while. He sort of has the same attitude that Howard Schultz, the former CEO of Starbucks, had when he was talking about jumping into the race, which is there aren't enough moderates in the Democratic Party to actually win an election. He, of course, is correct, and that's why Joe Biden is the best shot for Democrats to win the election of 2020 and not Elizabeth Warren. You can see that Bloomberg is frightened that Warren is going to get the nomination. He's been thinking about jumping in for quite a while. Does he actually have a base? The answer is pretty much no. Pretty much no. And Elizabeth Warren is doing exactly what you would expect her to do. She is suggesting, of course, that Bloomberg is a billionaire and therefore he's bad. Now, Elizabeth Warren, who is worth a hefty amount of money, by the way, she has a very, very nice house in Cambridge, Massachusetts. Elizabeth Warren pretending that she is not of the elite is one of the more amusing factors in this race. It really is. But Bloomberg is crazy if he thinks that he's getting any level of support in this primary. It's also funny that Bloomberg is now considered a moderate. I mean, seriously, because Bloomberg, his policies in New York with, for example, banning certain soda sizes, right? That it's just been like he's a full on government control fanatic. And this is somebody who wants to ban basically all guns in the city of New York. This is somebody who was intent on taxing the hell out of soda. He actually closed the Manhattan worship services of something like 57 churches and synagogues. According to nycreligion.info way back when, this is 2012, in a move with no precedent in New York City history, Mayor Michael Bloomberg will shut down after today the worship services of scores of what he calls religious groups. At least 57 churches and synagogues are affected. Separation of church and state is one of the basics of our country, Bloomberg said at the time. The more religious you are, I think the more you should want to keep the separation, because someday the religion the state picks as the state religion might not be yours. So he closed down a bunch of religious services that were taking place inside of schools. And it's truly, this guy is not in any way a moderate. And yet he, because the Democratic Party has moved so far to the left, is now a moderate. He's now considered a moderate. By the way, that policy was so bad on churches that Bill de Blasio reversed it. In any case, Bloomberg, being a person with a lot of money and a lot of time on his hands, he has now announced he's jumping in. According to Politico, former New York City Mayor Michael Bloomberg is preparing to file paperwork to qualify for the Democratic presidential primary in Alabama ahead of a Friday deadline. The move would be a first step toward a national campaign, though Bloomberg has not made a decision to run. We now need to finish the job and ensure that Trump is defeated. But Mike is increasingly concerned that the current field of candidates is not well positioned to do that, longtime Bloomberg aide Howard Wolfson said in an email. If Mike runs, he would offer a new choice to Democrats, built on a unique record running America's biggest city, building a business from scratch, and taking on some of America's toughest challenges as a high-impact philanthropist. See, the problem is that while Bloomberg is pretty far to the left on a lot of issues, he still happens to be a capitalist who's not completely insane on the state of Israel, and that means he has no shot at the nomination. None. Zero, zip, zilch. But he could carve into Joe Biden just a little bit. You could see him carving into, like, so Elizabeth Warren should be pretty happy today that Bloomberg is jumping into the race, because obviously he's not going to draw support away from Elizabeth Warren. He's going to draw support away from Joe Biden if he draws any level of support at all. Now, honestly, when I first saw that Bloomberg was running, I thought, okay, maybe he's running as an independent. I mean, truly, because if he had run as an independent, I think there's a shot that Michael Bloomberg could win 10 to 15% of the vote as an independent. President Trump is pretty unpopular across the country. The Democrats are going to run a radical. Somebody running down the middle could actually create a fairly large groundswell. But Bloomberg instead is going to run inside the Democratic Party, and he's immediately going to be ousted. We'll talk a little bit more about this in just one second. First, remember that one time when you had braces and it was really awkward and it just made you look weird or metal mouth and people made fun of you? And then you got the braces off. You're like, oh, I'm never doing that again. But now your teeth have slipped out of alignment because you didn't wear your retainers. Did you? Well, now you need solid aligners. You need Candid aligners. They can help straighten your teeth faster than traditional wire braces. Treatment takes just 6 months on average. An experienced orthodontist who's licensed in your state creates a custom treatment plan. Then they show you a 3D preview so you can see how your teeth will look after you're done. Candid's aligners are comfortable, removable, and completely invisible. Candid ships your aligners directly to you, so there's no hassle of going to an orthodontist's office. And Candid costs 65% less than braces. With each aligner purchased, Candid donates $25 to Smile Train. It brings safe, 100% free cleft lip and palate treatment to children around the globe, which is pretty awesome. I'm going to have my photo-ready smile ready by the holidays. I've been using Candid. You can, too. Go to CandidCO.com/Ben and use code Ben to get $75 off. That is CandidCO.com/Ben. Code Ben for $75 off. CandidCO.com/Ben. Use code Ben and get $75 off. Make those teeth straight again. CandidCO.com/Ben. Okay, so Politico says Bloomberg has engaged in a will-he-or-won't-he routine for longer than a decade about running for president, but he's declined to jump in each time. Earlier this year, he was exploring a bid, only to bow out after former VP Joe Biden made clear he would run. Bloomberg said back in March, I believe I would defeat Trump in a general election, but I'm clear-eyed about the difficulty of winning the Democratic nomination in such a crowded field. He's tired of being the almost-ran, said one former Bloomberg advisor on Thursday. Mortality is weighing heavily on him. This is the last time he can run. So basically, this is a personal decision because he's afraid that he's going to become irrelevant. Bloomberg won't qualify for the next debate in Atlanta on November 20th, He'll have to spend tens of millions of bucks in the next few weeks to make the debate stage in December.
We now go live to North State High School football with Brent Weber.
Well, good evening, high school football fans, and welcome to University Prep High School in Redding, California, where tonight the Panthers, already enjoying an unprecedented 8-1 football campaign, have the biggest test of their football existence. It's a real test against the East Nicholas Spartans for the championship of their Mid-Valley League. Hello, everyone. I'm Brent Weber. Thanks for joining us. East Nicholas Spartans have been the big red machine, the beasts of Sutter County. And in even though they are a true Division IV school, much smaller than UPrep and many others, they certainly have been dominant over the past decade. And in fact, in the past several years, have been undoubtedly one of the teams to beat in the northern section. And of course, UPrep has been building. The fourth head coach in the Panthers' history, Darren Trueblood, he of Northern Section Championships and more, and, of course, a long legacy at Enterprise High School, got back into coaching and has his son at the helm. His other son is one of his coaches, and they are 8-1 for the first time in school history. Both teams enter 4-0 in the last game of this regular season. When we come back with our game of the week here in Redding, California, we'll hear first from the head coach of the East Nicholas Spartans, Travis Barker. That interview when we return. It's the game of the week on KCNR.
Hello, I'm Carlene Niver, and I would like to personally thank you for your support while we celebrate over 4 years of business at Carlene's Restaurant and Bar. I'm so proud and excited to see our growth with loyal and new guests alike. Those of you who know me know that I love great food, but more importantly, I love to enjoy myself wherever I go. And that's what my dining team and I strive for when you walk into Carlene's. As the weather transitions, don't forget to book our banquet room for any of your upcoming holiday needs. We also offer outside catering for any occasion. Open 7 days a week, 4 p.m. to 9 p.m., 10 p.m. Friday and Saturday. Happy hour from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m., located in downtown Reading on Center Street. A pinch of patience, a dash of kindness, and a spoonful of laughter make for the best dining experience. I look forward to celebrating over 4 years of business with you at Carlene's Restaurant and Bar.
North State High School football, exclusively on KCNR AM 1460.
Welcome back. A pleasure to talk to Travis Barker, who's the head coach. I say the big red machine, baby, coming up from Nicholas, East Nicholas. And you are an alum of this program, and that's a pretty lofty job you have to keep what has become one of the beasts of this section rolling.
Yeah, well, East Nicholas High School has always been a powerhouse in football, and it's been a tradition. Even when I was in high school, it was a tradition. And, you know, I think it's important to me to keep it going and to keep the community involvement going. And it's just, you know, it's a great place to live and play football.
Now, this is the time of year where we could be talking about, you know, guys being banged up, guys being hurt, this, that, or the other. You may have gotten a break thrown at you when you picked up a forfeit a couple weeks ago. Are you healthy heading into the most important time of the season?
Yeah, yep, physically we're healthy. We've been, the flu went through us the last week, but as far as, like, fit, we're not injured or anything like that. We're good.
You have, and this is a truly a football question. You've been blowing people out, and you, not that you haven't done that before, but is there any worry? I'm doubting this, asking the question, but some might say, we don't know until our kids are in a tight game how they're going to respond. How do you think your team will respond if UPrep steps up and gives you a game tonight?
Yeah, you know, we were real fortunate this year to have two preseason games that were battles. Paradise is one of them, and then Bradshaw Christian was the other. And so it was nice for us to test our boys like that, to be behind and they have to, you know, keep going and keep putting the pressure on. And so, you know, they've been tested. We haven't been tested lately, you know, but that preseason schedule was good for us.
You balance on offense. You get the ball in the hands of a lot of guys. A lot of guys have scored for you. Looks like you like to go for two a lot. Those are all signs of power football. But at the end of the day, the success you've had the last 3 years, there's one kid that he's only lost. He's lost fewer games than you have on your hand, fingers.
Yeah. Gavin's lost three games. Yeah. And two of those were in regional championships,
yeah.
You know. The game that we lost against Paradise is the first time that we've lost in the North section since 2015. So he's been, Gavin, and he's a real integral part of our program, 3-year starter, and he's been in big games. So it's nice to have a quarterback that brings experience to the table.
What do you do to make sure you guys have whooped these fellows over there, but Darren Trueblood is a veteran.
Yeah,
he came here to do something, and you know, how do you keep these kids from not looking at how bad you beat them in the past going into this?
Yeah, well, you know, we study a lot of film, mm-hmm. and so these kids know that they're a lot better team than they have been. They execute a lot better. They're way more physical than they have been, so they know they're in for a battle.
All right, well, best of luck tonight. Have some fun. Tomorrow, I guess, is also a big day. Everybody finds out where they go from here. That's part
of it. Tomorrow at 9.
Do you go to that? Or?
Yeah, we go to it. So.
Is it like going to like some? Is it like behind the curtain at the Wizard of Oz or what?
No, you know, it's nice to get together with all the other North Section coaches, you know, and everybody's anxious and playoffs are rolling in, you know, and it's just kind of neat to talk to everybody, and it's a good time.
All right, best of luck to you. Thank you, Travis Parker. Really appreciate your time. All right, we're just about ready for kickoff. Game of the Week on KCNR.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has the chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
So what's Scorecard Scribbling's all about?
I was scared for my life at that point. I remember looking to the right and seeing all the medical supplies there, and I'm just thinking, are they going to cut off a leg? What are we doing here?
I had a coach that would come up to me on the plane, stick his hand out. I knew what he wanted. Who am I not to give him to him? Like, I thought, okay, job security.
We came to the ballpark every day. We knew we were going to win. It's a great experience, a great feeling to be on a club like that.
Scorecard Scribblings with Brent Weber, Wednesday nights from 6 to 7 on KCNR.
You're listening to High School Football on KCNR AM 1460.
Well, welcome back to the final regular season Game of the Week here on KCNR, and we're talking with Darren Trueblood. I circled this one on the schedule way back when, looking at it, and I said, this is a game I hope we have to do. And you held up your end of things, and now you take on the big red Giants from East Nicholas.
Yeah, we're just happy and fortunate. We kind of did the same thing. You know, we don't get to be in a position. We don't have the luxury to circle games 10 weeks down the road, but we played them as we came. But we always had this one in the back of our mind. We're looking forward to it tonight.
They've dominated this league. I guess this is technically the last year, I guess, of this league as we know it now. But they've dominated it. They're not a huge school, but they – year in, year out, along with big old Sutter down there, mm-hmm. seem to have a lot of terrific football players. And they've blown you guys out, last year and the previous two meetings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're very solid. They've had, you know, probably the last 10 years or so, they've probably been as good as anybody in the section as far as a win and loss. Half a dozen years ago or so, they went and won the state championship. They were the first team out of our section to actually do that. So that's, you know, they've got a lot of history. They've got a lot of pride. They're well coached, good athletes. We're looking forward to the challenge.
And I'm going to ask you a lot about them because, you know, I know about them on paper. I obviously haven't seen them. What makes them good?
Well, they're physical up front. They've got good size. They're front four and five on the offensive side move really well. And they've got good skilled guys that run hard behind them, so they're kind of a two-headed monster. If they have to throw, they will, but they'd rather just kind of grind you out, possess the ball and just continue to move the chains. So they're going to be a difficult challenge for us defensively. If we can slow them down and stay in a game, we'll give it a shot at the end.
their quarterback, McAuliffe, is, he's a third-year starter. He's a kind of kid from all, by all accounts, everything I've read, that every coach would want to have, and you can kind of see that out there. He doesn't turn the ball over all that often.
No, he manages the game really well. Very good runner. You know, they can get you in some empty sets, and they still have a real viable opportunity or a viable running back there with him. And they do that. They spread you out, they thin you out, and then he runs the ball with authority. So, he's a very – seems to be the film that I've watched the last couple of years and the way that he played last year. You know, very heady kid, takes care of the ball, runs their offense really well.
Now, Panthers – You've done the job. You learned from mistakes. You've had some. You put some points on the board. Your defense has stepped up. You even won a super close one way back when. We haven't forgot about that one. This team, obviously, I think on paper, obviously matches up better than any UPrep team has with them. What are the keys tonight?
Well, once again, we've got to move the ball on offense. We've got to be able to establish the run. Take an opportunity when we can as far as the play action stuff, but try to shorten the game. We've got a 23-man roster. We can't go toe-to-toe and run 80 plays against them and have them run 80 plays at us. That's just not – it's not going to be a successful remedy for us. So we're going to try to shorten the game, move the chains, possess the ball, play field position, kind of the old style, and see where we're at in the second half.
You're doing more on offense now than you were when I saw you last, because when I saw you last, you had simplified the offense. So in a way – you've gotten closer to where you wanted to be maybe at the start of the season.
Yeah, we've just kind of reevaluated who we were and what we were up front. Our line has really grown throughout the year. That's probably been the position group that has made the most growth, and they continue to grow every week. So we have to figure, we as coaches kind of had to figure out who we were and make the most of our kids and our roster.
Now, I don't want to get ahead of things. We're doing this interview late in the second quarter of the JV game, and I am in no way have any power over the universe, so I'm not jinxing it. But they're leading 16-0, and they could go undefeated. What is that kind of season, no matter what happens in this game? It means something, really, doesn't it, to UPrep to have this strong program?
Absolutely. We're trying to build a foundation, and we made a conscious effort with our young kids not to move any of them up and give them an opportunity to play for a league championship, and they're doing that. And if they can punch this one in, they'd be in a good position to take over, kind of take control of this football game. But we're trying to build for the future. We have, 31 kids on the JVs. All of them stayed. We've got 23 on the varsity. I'd like to have 60 next year. And that's where we're building that. That's what we're building it from the bottom up.
Will you be D3 next year?
We will. Once again, it looks like we'll be D3. We're a little bit over the 500 mark. I'm not sure exactly where. But, yeah, I think that's where we'll end up again.
As we look ahead to this game tonight, tomorrow, where will you be during the Poobah meeting? Are you part of that when the seating stuff starts to happen? How does that all work? Take me to how that all works. Is it an eight ball thing or something like Wizard of Oz? I don't know.
that is a million-dollar question. I've never gone to any seating meetings. Sometimes some strange things come out of there that I just kind of shake my head and wonder how they came up with some of those things. But they have their formulas. They have their, they have their system and their bylaws. And hopefully, this year is going to be a little bit different because things are a little bit different with Paradise in the mix and not having a plan for that. So, no, I won't be anywhere around there.
And I'm not meaning to put you on the spot, but in all honesty, I think, there is a scenario that Paradise could be left out of the playoffs. That doesn't seem right.
Yeah, it's a difficult situation. I think everybody in the section has sympathy for what they're going through and what the situation is there. And, I don't know that there's an easy answer. I don't know that there's a I really don't know. I don't know what they're going to come up with. So all I can do is go and fight and work and root for my kids, and somebody else is going to have to make those decisions.
Well, this is what you came back for, Coach, a chance to lead young men somewhere they haven't been before. Best of luck tonight. Luck never hurts, and have fun out there.
Hey, we'll take it. You bet. Thanks, Brent.
Darren Trueblood, a real pleasure to see his team and the development as he heads this interview at halftime of the JV game. He's got to get to his young men and give them some final words to prepare them for tonight's big game. I'm excited. Can you tell? This Nicholas is a huge game, but much like last week, if you want to have a storyline for the season, you prep. This is a program-building game. And I don't want to say if they can stay in this game, but they give the monsters of East Nicholas some trouble, and then you never know what happens. All right, it will have a playoff bearing, no doubt. We'll be back with Kickoff, the final regular season game of the week, on KCNR from Reading and University Prep High School. Don't go away. You're listening to the Game of the Week on KCNR.
For many people, their faith, their family, and their health are the most important things in their life. Every day, the work that I do influences these things. Children go to college, couples move into their first home, people retire, businesses start, and charities are supported. All of this in part because of the work I do. I can make complicated things clearer so people understand them. I can solve problems and find solutions. People need someone to put their interests first. And for many people, I am that someone. I can lend an ear, stand with you during life's ups and downs, and provide that advice at just the right time. That's why I love my job. That's why I'm a financial advisor, Susan Eastman, with Wells Fargo Advisors in Redding, California, 243-7561. This is Susan Eastman with Wells Fargo Advisors. I'd love to be your financial advisor. Please give me a call at 243-7561.
North State High School Football, exclusively on KCNR AM 1460.
Welcome back to University Prep High School in Redding, California. Hello, everyone. Here on Eureka Way, it is a beautiful night for high school football at Gilmore Field. Gilmore Field dedicated to Carl E. Gilmore, who for three decades was a teacher and part of the athletic scene in the Shasta High School District. Tonight, the UPrep Panthers, 8-1 for the first time since starting this football program, playing for the Mid-Valley Championship against the East Nicholas Spartans, the Big Red Machine from down in Sutter County. They are the four-time defending Mid-Valley Champions. They, too, have just one loss on this campaign. They, too, are undefeated in league play. Now, tonight it should be, as we said, a beautiful night. The sun, of course, has set with the time change. The temperature is very comfortable in this game. Shirt sleeves, short sleeves, pretty much across the board for these two teams. UPrep wearing blue, the royal blue, white with some black trimmings. Their numerals are white. They'll wear the blue jerseys and the white pants. The visitors, the Spartans, they come from Nicholas, California, and they wear red helmets with red numerals, red and some gold striping, and white jerseys and pants. This series has been all East Nicholas. They have met three times. 2014, it was 70-16 East Nicholas won. In 2015, it was only marginally better, 68-33. But enter into the new era, the Darren True Blood era. Last year, East Nick won 35-0. They're 3-0 all-time in this series. And while the sun may have set over the north coastal ranges to the west here, it is a perfect night for football and for UPrep, the chance for perhaps the sun to rise to show that they indeed are ready to take the next step. Both these teams are postseason bound. They, in the twist of fate, because of the changes in a student body enrollment at University Prep. They were originally in a Division IV conference, but as the school has grown, they have been bumped up into Division III the last couple of years. It is a very odd situation. So they are playing in a Division IV league where East Nicholas, in the latest Northern Section CIF playoff rankings, are number one with no one near them. Pierce is number two. Both of these teams defeated Pierce during the regular season. UPrep beat them 49-48 on a game-winning field goal by a young Mr. Jake Royce, and East Nicholas won at Pierce 47-12 in their fourth game of this regular season. There are other, of course, once they got into league play, mutual opponents during this season. But in Division III, that is where UPrep will actually go into the playoffs. Heading into this week, they rank fifth. They would be in the playoffs. They should be a playoff team. West Valley is the clear number one. They're the highest rated team in any division. in the northern section. Sutter is number two, and frankly, they are the second highest rated team in the northern section. Then Lassen, who played West Valley so great last week, is third in Division III. Live Oak, who the one team to defeat University Prep this year, they are 7-2 overall, 4-1 in their league. They beat UPrep narrowly by a 16-13 score, and Live Oak is just in front of UPrep in the Division III rankings. So if Live Oak were to lose and UPrep were to win, you could see a swap, but if they wind up too close, they would wind up in a tie. Regardless, you heard me mention it with both coaches in Red Bluff tomorrow. Coaches will be there. They will have seeding meetings for the CIF Northern Section, and we will learn about the first couple of weeks of the playoffs at that point in time. So I do recommend you check out Shasta County Sports, their website. And, of course, next Wednesday on Scorecard Scribblings, I will have more for you. They're still going through the warm-ups here in the pregame, so let's set more of the stage for you. Playoff seeding, of course, on the line. The earlier game today in this doubleheader, the UPrep JV, 137-0, and you heard Coach Trueblood mentioning that in our pregame interview. That completes a perfect junior varsity season, and this is the first time in UPrep history that they have gone run the table in JV play. So that's a good sign for their program, and looking forward to that. UPrep Panthers captains are now getting set to go out on the field for the toss in this game. Trevor Trueblood, Cole Abel, Kalani Cheeseman, and Brandon Gilmet are all getting set to go out for the toss here. It, of course, is senior night, the last regular season home game for this team. 1 week ago, East Nicholas came into this game with a resounding 47-0 win over Williams. They are a much smaller school than UPrep, a couple of hundred fewer students, in fact. UPrep 1 week ago beat Trinity 45-14. The Spartans started their year with their only loss. They have reeled off eight straight wins since losing in the opening week to Paradise 35-28. Since then, they won at Galileo San Francisco 41-0. They won at home over Bradshaw 14-6, went to Pierce and won 47-12. And at Golden Sierra, 132-6. In league play, they won at Trinity 58-12. They won at Mount Shasta 48-6. They earned a forfeit as Hamilton forfeited the next week, and then last week at Williams, the victory there. For the UPrep Panthers, that opening win, 49-48 over Pierce, followed by a tight 16-13 loss at a very good Live Oak team at Clear Lake. They won 47-19 at Colusa, 23-21, 54-14 in the previous game of the week, a broadcast that we had over West Sierra Collegiate Academy. They ripped Hamilton 55-8. They beat Williams 57-32 and beat Mount Shasta at Mount Shasta 29-8 before last week's win over Trinity. So the referee, Tom O'Callaghan, has flipped the coin, tossed it. He's explaining to the captains right now. And let's see what's going to be the call. We'll listen in. I don't know if Tom has. So UPrep has won the toss. They have declined. They have given the option to East Nicholas. So East Nicholas will choose to receive the football. East Nicholas on the field in front of us, going left to right. To our left is northwest. So heading to the northwest end zone, that is the one East Nicholas will defend, and they will take the opening kick there. And to my right, that is the southeast end zone, and that is where the UPrep Panthers will defend that goal. And when they do take the football, they will begin moving right to left. So we're just about ready for kickoff. We'll take a break here and return for our game of the week, East Nicholas at UPrep for the Mid-Valley Championship. It's our game of the week on KCNR.
That doesn't happen to men.
It's not just a woman's issue.
It only happened once.
I will intervene. But he's such a nice guy.
We will look out for each other.
What did she think would happen?
I will step in.
It's just the way people are.
It's on us to change the future for our children.
We will change the culture.
Get involved. One safe place. OSPShasta.org/change the culture.
Hi, I'm Sharon Clark of Home Helpers. It's amazing to look back at all the families we've touched since 2004, but our clients say it best.
I want to express my deep appreciation for the love and support you and your...
So fortunate to have an organization like Home Helpers.
You never know how much your contribution meant or how greatly you touched our lives.
Thank you so much for helping me care for my husband.
After hearing what it's meant to them, I truly can't imagine doing anything else. When you need help for your loved one, choose Home Helpers. There is no place like home.
Everyone's invited to an evening of fun and all-you-can-eat ribs with all the fixins, plus gun and bucket raffles, live, silent, and fabulous dessert auctions. This benefit fundraiser is in support of Friends of the Shasta District Fair and the future of our wonderful fair and event center. Please join us Saturday, November 9th for all-you-can-eat ribs and an evening of fun with friends at the fairgrounds in Anderson. Dinner tickets and sponsorship tables available at Shasta District Fair and Event Center office or call 378-6789.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
The holiday season is here, so why not give the gift that keeps giving? Perhaps a social membership or golf lessons. Riverview Golf and Country Club has been providing home away from home entertainment. Find out how you can become a member today. Go to riverviewgolf.net. That's riverviewgolf.net.
You're listening to High School Football on KCNR AM 1460.
Well, welcome back to Gilmore Field, Bear Mountain to the north of us. It's in the dark now because it's all the bright Friday night lights of high school football. Welcome, everyone, to our game of the week. It's the East Nicholas Spartans at the UPrep Panthers. I'm Brent Weber. We are just about ready to get underway. The Panthers kicking off to the Spartans here in Redding, Shasta County, California. And the Panthers put toe to leather. Jake Royce gets the kick off. It's fielded at the 25 and across the 26-yard line. And that is where the East Nicholas Spartans will take it over first and 10. That was Aaron Alestra on the return. So the Spartans, as we mentioned earlier, coming out in white on white, they wear red numerals, red helmets, UPrep wearing the royal blue and white. UPrep defensively has their hands full. They're taking on an East Nicholas Spartans team that averages over 8 yards a carry. They run the football, and they are very, very tough to stop. They have a toss, sweep, right side, pickup of maybe a yard or two. Pretty good stop there. Read well by Cade Meyer. On the carry, it was Mitch Barker. Barker, the son of Travis Barker, the head coach. Their quarterback is Gavin McAuliffe. We talked about him. He was the Sacramento Bee Player of the Week a week ago, a third-year starter for them. Has lost just a couple of times in his entire career. Three, in fact. He's thrown for over 3,700 yards in his career. He's rushed for over 2,400. He gives it left side, this time to Aaron Alestra, a senior, who gets four. It'll be third down and about three. They have four different guys who have turned in 100-yard games, all seniors. And so they spread it out. They'll use three wideouts. They'll run multiple sets. It's really a very Spartan offense in terms of the way they do it, not Spartan in terms of a small number. They use a whole bunch of guys. They send Alestra out wide to the right. He's one of two guys that have caught more than caught 15 or more balls off left tackle. They pick up a first down, not a whole lot more. Of those backs, we mentioned JT Stinson. He's the son of the offensive coordinator and one of the key backs. And they like to run the ball. They throw it effectively when they need to because they have a veteran quarterback. He's in the pistol. They bunch it up left side, quick toss left side to Barker, and he cuts the corner, hits the left sideline. It's a foot race now. Will he go all the way? And he is tricked from behind, but is he in the end zone? He is indeed into the end zone. I thought he was going to get there. I believe it was Cole Abel chasing him down, but he couldn't catch him. Tripped from behind. Big touchdown run. And That's just exactly what you don't want to have happen if you're UPrep, because once East Nicholas gets on top, you don't want to have to come out throwing. You don't want to get too far behind against them. So Ashton York comes in to kick the point after. He's 25 of 33 with point after kicks this year. That one is up, and it is good. So the run by Barker, we'll get the yardage for you in just a minute. With 10:15 on the clock in the first, it's 7-0. East Nicholas. This is the game of the week on KCNR.
Riverfront Playhouse presents A Christmas Carol by Christopher Sharrow, adapted from Charles Dickens and directed by Jennifer Levins, November 23rd through December 21st. With an intimate cast and ethereal presentation, A Christmas Carol is a ghost story of redemption and the lesson that giving isn't just a seasonal affair. Tickets available at riverfrontplayhouse.net. Enjoy the store running or at the door. A Christmas Carol, November 23rd through December 21st at the Riverfront Playhouse. Sponsored by Bank.
North State High School Football, exclusively on KCNR AM 1460.
Well, if anybody doubted that East Nicholas would come ready to play, as if they wouldn't, the Big Red Machine just explodes with a 55-yard touchdown run by Barker. And he just, once he hit that left sideline, toe for toe, they were chasing him, but he couldn't catch up to him. The kick is fielded by Uribe at about the 30-yard line to make it the 28. Good return across midfield to the 44 of East Nicholas. Damon Uribe, the little senior, 5'7", 130-pounder, and he is the fastest guy on this UPrep roster, so let's see what they're going to do against East Nicholas. The Spartans are big up front, and they'll use different sets. According to their head coach, defensively, University Prep likes to balance it. They've got spread backs in the backfield. They give it to the up back. The first guy through picks up a couple. That's kind of a vanilla start. Caden, let's see who that was on the carry. Cole Abel is their leading back. 119 carries, 622 yards. He's a senior. Trevor Trueblood, of course, the lefty, is at quarterback. They got an equipment change. They're going to have to send a player out. Riley C., who's their most dangerous flyback, is coming off the field. And I think he must have had an equipment problem. He's gotten it squared away, but they've sent in a play from the sideline. Much like several of the teams we see, they go immediately to... They don't go to a huddle very often, so they've got a wing on the right side. He goes in motion to the left. That was Uribe, but I think we're going to have some movement or illegal procedure up front.
Football start on the Panthers. I'll move the ball back 5 yards.
Actually, we're gonna update that. We'll say it was a 61-yard touchdown run. We'll see if we can get that. A whole lot of folks are covering this game. I know Shasta County Sports made this their game of the week. We didn't put our heads together on the schedules. We just chose a lot of the same games of the week, as it turned out. All right, so now it's going to be second down 12 after that penalty. Uribe in motion from the right side. They give it to the big guy, Cole Abel. Gets it around the left tight end. Boy, he's a strong runner, holding the ball. One of only two guys who've had 100-yard games on this team because they do spread it out. He's 5'11", 200. He's a load back there.
Looks like a third and four.
Looks like Riley C. back in. That was Caden Adams in motion, not Uribe, excuse me. Tied on the left side is Trayton Lost a Lot. Dangerous receiver, big guy. They have some pretty good size guys on the edge as well. They have a wing on the left. Two backs looking to throw now. The left-hander down the left sideline, overthrown. A little contact after the ball gets passed. He showed his strong arm there. Trueblood, 72 of 137, over 1,100 yards passing, 53%. Averages about 16.5 per catch. And has thrown 15 touchdowns, but not a great TD-INT ratio. He's also been picked 10 times. He's a dangerous runner. Has three touchdowns rushing, but they're going to have to punt it away, so not much going on that. Basically a net 5 yards on that series. Trueblood, left-footed kicker, midfield, goes for the left corner, and an excellent, will they get it down? Oh, no, they didn't quite get to it. C was just late getting there, and he got blocked well out of his zone. That was really good special teams blocking there. I think you have to give credit by McAuliffe because that kept C from downing that on the one-yard line. So it'll come out to the 20, and that is where East Nicholas will take over for the second time, leading 7-0 game of the week on KCNR.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
You're listening to High School Football on KCNR AM 1460.
On the first play, J.T. Stinson goes right side, picks up a couple. He leads them in rushing, 617 yards, 8.3 yards a carry. They toss right side again. This time it's Barker, and he cuts up the right sideline. How did he do that? Just slipped through the seam. He may go all the way again, diving at the last second. No. Oh, my. A 73-yard touchdown run, no flags on the field. Just a toss, and he raced to that sideline and scored. Wow. Wow. The crowd has just died here. They were both down there. 73 yards, and it is a stunning start. Somebody overplaying. They go for the point after. And it's 14-0, 7:43 in the first. Wow. Well, that takes the wind out of your sails if you're UPrep. And let's see what they come back with. We're going to be keeping an eye on a whole bunch of other scores for you tonight. Of course, Lassen is at Shasta, Foothill at Chico. And Chico, the number one seed in D2, Foothill number four. I mean, they could maybe, I doubt they would even jump up in the rankings. So that's just a big one for pride's sake. Red Bluff Enterprise, somebody's going to get a win tonight, I'm guessing. Anderson at Yreka, Las Molinas at Fall River. Greenville at Redding Christian in eight-man play. Tule Lake at Bernie. Orland at Sutter. Wheatland is at Gridley. That could affect UPrep in the postseason points in the playoffs run. Battle of the Victory Bell in Oroville. Las Plumas at Oroville. Pierce is at Durham tonight. As we're just set to get started now, we'll look at some of the other games coming up on the scoreboard a little bit later on. So York kicks it off, and he'll just kick it out of bounds over on the right sideline. So UPrep will take over. Trailing 14-0. A shocker to start. I mean, we know East Nicholas has the big play and big scoring abilities. They've outscored their opposition 269 to... Or excuse me, they, let me get that wrong. They normally run the heck out of the football, but when that's not, they outscored their opponents 317-77. They're 52-5 over the last four seasons, and they haven't lost in this league in a long time. 26 game winning streak in the Mid Valley. UPrep will be in a different league next year. You know, they're going to march it out now after the penalty, and UPrep will take it over on the 35 start over. And that's where the Panthers will take it over. So back to square one. Head coach Darren Trueblood and his staff, his son, Zach, the quarterback coach, his other son, is the quarterback. And Trevor Trueblood is under center right now. He has two wings. They're midfield. They send one guy in motion. That's C going right to left. He gets around the corner on the left side, then tries to cut back in field, but he's knocked down by McAuliffe. Both teams have guys playing both ways. Not much of a gain there, but not negative. He just ran out of room as they just did what you're supposed to do on the toss sweep. They just kept stretching UPrep out. Scott Lee, the defensive coordinator, Dustin Fortenberry, the run game coordinator and special teams coach. Two long touchdown runs by Barker, and the Spartans have a 14-0 lead. A little misdirection in the backfield. Second guy is Caden Adams back near the original line of scrimmage. Not really getting to a rhythm yet. Following Ryan Hart on that line on the right side. He's a junior. They have some experience up front. Kalani Cheeseman, a returnee. He's at center now. You've got senior tackles Brandon Yomad and Noah Weaver. Ryan Hart and Brendan Nye, the guards up front. Getting the play from the sideline. They're at midfield still. Third and, we'll call it third and five at the 40. Trustin lost a lot. Trayton lost a lot. Is wide to the left, moving right to left. They throw it to lost a lot underneath. Nice little curl back. He picks up the first down. Fairly soft coverage on that play, and he's dropped by Justin Bendur, a sophomore. First down for University Prep. 6:15 and counting down. So they're across midfield. Riley C., one of the flybacks, he's at the top on the right-hand side. So they're now left side hash mark. So they have a wing and two backs, quarterback under center. He gives it to the fullback. That's the upback. Cole Abel just bursts through for eight. Second down and two now. Is Abel doing what he's doing? UPrep getting a little footing now. Long drives. That's what UPrep's looking for. But you got to, boy, anybody ever needed to stop, it'll be them next time defensively. But that's the Mr. Obvious answer from me. Pretty clear everybody knows that. As second down and four. Did not get a good spot. Some movement up front is going to be against UPrep. Right side of the line bunched up and bounced up and made some contact. And they wanted defensive offside, but you can't sell that. They'll walk five. So it's going to be second down and about nine. Again, they didn't get a great spot on the first down run by Abel. Abel's been, they've gotten a couple of good runs from him up the gut and then one off tackle. Again, moving right to left, again near midfield at the 48 of East Nicholas. Wide receiver to the right. Instead, they give it to Abel. Good space at the line. Gets four, maybe five. They're getting some initial room at the line of scrimmage to work. And for a guy like Abel who protects the ball well, that's great. UPrep doesn't really have the burning backs, the guys that are just going to hit and fly. They do have good speed, but not huge speed, not game-breaking speed with their backs. So the misdirection is important, the play calling important. Checking the backfield. Aiden Adams is down. Abel is up, looking to throw left side. Again, a curl underneath. They're running a zone over there. It's complete to Lost a Lot. They're just giving him some soft coverage, so on the play action, and actually that wasn't even play action. He just stood up and threw it. So they're daring him to throw it, but just giving him a little bit of soft coverage over there and lost a lot and has caught a couple of balls now. Zadonis is their other big receiver. Let's see where he is on the field as well. He's set tight on the right. They're on the left hash mark, moving right to left. It's first and 10 now on the 35-yard line. Play into the lefty True Blood, quarterback under center. Two backs behind him. Adams is down. Abel is up. They send C in motion. They blitz up the middle and just cover up True Blood. And the Panthers fall on the football. He never really had it. Boy, that was some good timing up front. They just brought the kitchen sink there. I might have to start sneaking a look at the iPad of the opposing team. No, I don't get replays on that either. Huh? So it's second and call it a loss of two, call it a loss of one, second 11 on the 36. Left side hash mark again. two backs. Second guy is Abel. Abel gets forward progress, not a lot beyond that, but we've got a flag thrown into the pile. Garrett McCray, a sophomore. That's one difference between these teams. UPrep, boy, they bit their lip. They did not call up sophomores that probably could have helped them from JV. And for the most part, it's juniors and seniors. You don't have to see any sophomores in your starting lineups. And that's going to be a holding on defense, and they're going to get a personal foul, and they'll walk it off against East Nicholas. That's a big one. But you don't see any sophomores in the starting lineup for UPrep, and that's because they're trying to build this program. All right, so now they're down inside the 20. Call it the red zone where the Panthers. Now they'll move Adams over to the right of the quarterback. Again, they're on the left hash mark. Abel is the tailback. He follows his block and then just gets swallowed up. His block actually missed the guy who was trying to block. Well read by Gabe White, the linebacker. He was looking to follow his blocker, but they just stepped in and did a nice job to push him back. Drop of two. Well read off tackle right side. Going to do it again now. Jake Royce comes in. He's a dangerous kid. He averages 5.4 a carry. So Lostelot's going to be setting up tight on the left with C, a wing on the left. Wide to the right is Zadonis, the leading receiver on this team. Two backs behind the quarterback, Trueblood, who's taking some time on this one now. Royce is the up back. Abel gets the call off left tackle. Still fighting, still battling. He was met by Alestra, who came up, but he just kept pumping. Got back across the original line of scrimmage. He's inside the 20 again. It'll be third down and 9 yards now. On about the 19, call it the 18-yard line.
With the tackle for this one.
Again, Zadonis on the right. They're zoning lost a lot, it looks like. But Zadonis is getting some single coverage. So now they've gone back to single coverage now. They're not zoning here down in the red zone. Split backs now. Both backs are up. So they're looking to throw. Dumping it into the end zone. He's lost a lot there. Oh, he just did not get it out of his hands well. There was some pressure coming. The idea was to loft it into the end zone and just make something happen, and it just didn't. Janos was one of the guys who got in there on him. They're down in four down territory. We know that Royce can kick a field goal, but this would be a 36-yarder. We know he can kick that because that's what he kicked a 35-yarder to win a game earlier this year. Uribe coming in. He's a speedster going wide to the right. Trueblood's going to be in at... He is their punter, but they're not punting from the 18. Well, let's see. I'm not sure what they're doing. It's Abel to the left. They're trying to get an offsides. And they're going to instead get the procedure. Now, they're going to call timeout. Okay, they were trying to draw an offsides. They're going to use their first timeout, probably well used with 1:03 to go in the first. This is the game of the week on KCNR.
The Reading Renteria Senior Nutrition Program provides socialization, transportation, and free meals to eligible Native American elders and their spouses. Our program celebrates Native elders through cultural activities, entertainment, exercise, and education. Elders can dine together here and will deliver meals to those who are unable to attend. The Reading Rancheria Senior Nutrition Program is free. Discover the services available to you or your elders at readingrancheria.com.
North State High School Football comes your way on KCNR, Shasta, Reading.
Welcome back, Game of the Week. I'm Brad Weber. Thanks for joining us tonight. If you just joined us, let's just say the Spartans came to play. Long touchdown runs on their first two series, and we're talking about long touchdown runs by one of the coach's sons. Very impressive. Mitch Barker runs in the 14-0. A nice drive for UPrep here. They've gotten some help from East Nicholas, a couple of penalties. 14-0, though. They're going for it on fourth down and 9. The ball placed on about the 18-yard line. Rolling left. The lefty throws down the sideline. Lost a lot. He gets his feet in. Complete. Is it going to be enough for a first? Did he get the first? He did. Down to the 7-yard line. So it's first and goal from the 7, well caught by Lostalot. So quickly, UPrep trying to get something going here. Lostalot now comes to the left side, strong side. That means he's a tight end. C will be at a wing, it looks like, on the left. The other two backs, Jake Royce, who's excellent speed, scored a couple of touchdowns rushing as well, and also a good receiver out of the backfield. This one's taking a while. They better watch it. They better watch it. The clock is ticking down, 45-44. I don't know if they're going to call timeout, they're going to get it off. All right, they are going for it here. First and goal from the 7. They give it to Abel. He is wrapped up in the backfield and got nowhere on that. In fact, I think he dropped for a loss. So he's, yeah, maybe not. Still about the 8-yard line. They're going to let the clock now go down, it looks like, to end the first. Well, I don't know. They're looking to the sideline. Yep. Coach Trueblood is looking at the clock. He's going to let it run out. And so they can think about this play for a while as the UPrep Panthers will be deep in their opponent's territory, trailing 14-0 as we start the second quarter. When we return, it's East Nicholas at UPrep on the Game of the Week on KCNR.
I think one great benefit to having a Turtle Bay membership, I love that it's one place we can go to and bring our family, and there's something for everybody. There's activities for our 1-year-old to do, and there's also exhibits and things for our 6-year-old to do, and it's just a good variety of things for all ages.
We're members of Turtle Bay because I think education is really important, and I think kids need to learn that they can learn out of the classroom and learn in real life, and I think Turtle Bay brings that experience to them as they can see things that they see out and about outside of school and learn something.
You're listening to High School Football on KCNR AM 1460.
Both these teams pretty good on offense down when they, an indicator of how good they are in the red zone. We don't really have those stats like they have in the NFL, but an indicator of how you are in the red zone is how often you're successful with the two-point conversions. And both these teams will go for two a lot. Now, they're not in that territory yet. It's second down and about 8, maybe a long 8, but I think that was good clock management. Look, UPrep doesn't have enough warm bodies. They have fewer players suited up than the Spartans. Spartans are a much smaller school, I get that, but they're a more established program. UPrep has more guys going both ways, undoubtedly, and you know, they've got to try to manage the clock as best they can. So they're on now moving left to right down inside the 10. They give it again to Abel. Again, trying to fight. These two teams are battling. Might have got a little bit there. A little bit more difficult for us to see it. Since now on the in front of us, moving left to right, deep down into the red zone, actually no gain really. So it is still third down. It is still 8 to go. Now it's third down. Adams and Abel in the backfield, rolling left. They're sprinting, and he eluded one tackler. Throws it towards the end zone, but it's picked off, intercepted. Down near the goal line by East Nicholas. Gavin McAuliffe, we know what a terrific offensive player he is, but he's also one of their leaders on defense. And McAuliffe read that ball well. They sent somebody from the edge and a little bit of a rush throw, 11th interception of the season by Trueblood, and that means the Spartans will take it over. Yeah, they're backed up against their own wall, but that one hurts. UPrep was knocking on the door. They know they can get close, but the Spartans with a big stop there and a big turnover. 11:21 now on the clock. So East Nicholas comes out. They move a wing from left to right. Quarterback's in the pistol. He has a wing still on the left. Option gives it right side. Off tackle. Not a whole lot there.
JT Stinson, the right side.
And JT Stinson on the carry. They also throw to their backs a little bit to But East Nicholas
looks like a gain of maybe two on the play.
When they're successful running, as they have been already in this game with those two long runs. And if you think I'm kidding, well, I'm not. They had a 61 and a 73. Again, they get to the right sideline. This time battled out of bounds, knocked out of bounds by True Blood. Well, the Spartans brought a pretty big, nice little crowd. They had some folks here early today, but nobody beat the Panthers fans here. They were already setting up their spots when I got here about 3:30 today. The crew, by the way, referee Tom O'Callaghan with Casey Kingsbury, Randy Davis, Mike Van Gundy. We've got a flag up front, spun around, slung around that time. Stinson doesn't get much. Lost a lot on the stop.
JT Stinson. No gain on the play. It'll still be a second and 10.
They amass about over twice as much rushing offense as passing, so they run each game 269 yards. They pass. They average 113 a game.
They'll bring them a second and 10.
So it's second down 10. The quarterback, as we mentioned, McAuliffe, 5'10", 170-pounder. 74% passer on the year. Now he's in a naked set. He has four receivers to the left. He sends one man in motion. That's Lester. He goes to the right. Now they reset the back in the pistol, and they play action, roll out to the right. Wide open is David Earhart, and he drops the football. It was six. It was another long play. Somebody missed the coverage. Earhart just came streaking from the left side. The Panthers are lucky. Sometimes you got to be lucky. So now it's third down and 11. Play comes in from the sideline. Stinson back in. Again, the quarterback, McAuliffe. He's rushed for 540-something yards. Passed for over 1,000 coming into this game. So they have a big H-back to the left, a wide out to the left. He rolls right, looking again, has separation deep, throws it downfield. It's caught this time, and he stumbles with a big pickup. Zach Scoggins, big catch for Scoggins. And again, some busted coverage there. They're getting behind somebody with UPREP inside the 10-yard mark. But so what could have been a decent stop. We see a strong arm from McAuliffe there, but that's beyond separation. That was a time zone of space, again, between the receiver and the secondary. Earhart is a close wide out to the left, and then they've got a flanker there as well. Rolling right, throwing deep, again open, but overthrowing again. Scoggins down the right sideline. It'll be second and 10.
Just out of reach of the receiver.
That's out of character for McAuliffe, according to Max Preps, completing 74% of his passes with 15 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. I mean, his quarterback rating, which isn't as efficient at this level as it would be in the NFL, is over 144 coming in. That's crazy. That's peewee football kind of quarterback ranking. Stinson now in a slot to the right. They send another man in motion right to left. That's Alestra. And give it right side to Barker. And Barker turned the corner, got three.
And
lost a lot among them on the stop. Also, Royce there. Defensively, some of the names you'll hear is call. Brendan Nye, Reinhart, Zadonis, Adams, Cheeseman, Moore, Meyer, Abel, Trueblood, Royce, Uribe. Stoltze, lost a lot, all key players on the defensive side for UPREP. East Nicholas just kind of maintaining their pace. They're not rushing their offense. They're not in a hurry up. Now they go in a pistol here, dropping back now to throw. Getting pressure from the quarterback's right side and underneath throwing. Could have been a late hit called there. A little unnecessary push, but incomplete. David Earhart was the intended receiver. Fourth down and seven. McAuliffe does do the punting. Their confidence being what it is, I would not be surprised to see them go for it, and it looks like they will. I mean, they can set up in the punt. They could fake it. Start in a shotgun. Now go back to punt. Nope, he's going to throw on fourth and six. Cross the middle, incomplete. Some contact there. Intended receiver was Scoggins. Damon Uribe on the coverage, and the Panthers fans get something to cheer about as they take over on downs. 8:36 on the clock. UPrep taking over first and 10 on their own 47-yard line. Again, good field position, which they have created each time. Last one ending down near the goal line with a pass interception. Let's see if UPrep can finish the job here. They give it on a reverse to C. He's got trouble on the right side now, tries to turn back, and he's finally just wrestled to the ground. Whatever the Panthers were selling, Spartans weren't buying. It was a reverse going left to right, and he just got covered up over there. Loss of five. Clock ticking down, 8:10. Zadonis wide to the right. They're moving left to right. Lost a lot. Wide to the left along with C. So it's definitely showing a passing formation. In the pistol with a man to his right is Abel. And we're going to have the Panthers calling another timeout. Coach Trueblood recognizing the critical nature of probably this drive, much like that last one. All right, let's check out the scoreboard. Let's see what we can get for you on the scoreboard out there. Got to refresh our lovely. Looks like Lassen's up top at Shasta 7-0. Other score updates that we've got for you.
Tickets are available.
Oops, got to reload. Got to reload my scoreboard here. We'll get to that in a second.
Once again, Guys and Dolls. Premiering November 15th.
Oh, guys, you can hear in the background Guys and Dolls is coming at UPrep. That's pretty cool.
All other shows, 7 o'clock.
All right, we'll get you a couple other score updates when we can. Just Enterprise up 7-0 on Red Bluff. That's the only one I got for you right now. That's in the early going. All right, they're looking to throw second down, 15. Draw play up the middle. Nice run by Abel. Gets back to the original line of scrimmage, and then a couple. Call it 7.
29-yard line pickup.
That's Garrett McCray, a sophomore. Big kid, 6'2", 210, I'm telling you. They got some kids out there. I mean, there are a mostly senior team, the Spartans are. They just have a couple of sophomores, but good size on these kids. They will not be divisional opponents next year, or they will not be league opponents next year, that's for sure. Trueblood rolling left, does feel the pressure, overthrows, might have done that intentionally. JT Stinson was coming in. He's up on that line, one of their ends, and pressured him. So it'll be fourth down. I thought it was third. No, it's fourth down and 8. Ball still at midfield. This is a punting down here, and that's what they're going to, I believe, do. No, they're going to go for it. Well, they're going to at least show it. Okay, so coming in to do the snapping, lot snapping, and Trueblood, your punter, they don't buy it. And there's nobody back to receive, and he drills it end over end. Can they get down it inside the 10? They will indeed down it on about the 9-yard line. Good job that time by Damon Uribe. They weren't believing that they were going to go punt it there, and it was indeed a punt by Trevor Trueblood. This is the game of the week on KCNR.
Hey, guys, I'm Bob the Drop. Welcome to my podcast. Do you like water? If you do, you're going to love me. I'm pure and simple. I'm talking refreshing. Yeah. Spent 500 years in a glacier. Boy, was that cold. I never was and never will be tap water. Nope. Bottled at the source, the base of Mount Shasta. Yep, pure and simple. Naturally the best. You can try me by calling 1-800-922-6227. Mount Shasta Spring Water.
North State High School Football, exclusively on KCNR AM 1460.
Barker takes it first down, tries to pick something right. Ball on the ground inside the 10, and UPrep thinks they've got it. They do. So the Panthers strip the ball down inside the 10. I don't know who got it. So recovered by Ryan Hart, the junior, 6'1", 170, and old momentum maybe can swing UPrep's way. The Panthers cut a break. They need one. I'm pulling out the binoculars. They give it to the big guy inside, and Abel just pounding, pounding, pounding. It's going to get down to near the 5. We'll see where they spot it. It's first and goal from the 8. He's down to the 7. I mean, Abel's gotten positive yardage when he's touched the ball. Lost a lot to the left. They're on the inside of the left hash mark. And second and goal from the, we'll call it a long 7.
Looks like ball started at the 7-yard line.
Quarterback Trueblood under center. Again, gives it to the big guy, and the big guy, Abel, pounding right side behind the guard.
Number 30, Gabe White.
Stopped on the play by Gabe White, big senior. 6'1", 210.
Third and long 5 to the goal line.
Third and goal from the 5. The UPrep Panthers trying to take advantage of the first turnover that they've benefited from. They turn the ball over in the same territory. They're not seeming to get the offensive plays in quickly, whatever that is. Abel again, picking right side behind the guard, pushed forward. He's going to be inside the 5, but not what they're looking for. Panthers desperately need 7.
Well, down to the 2-yard line.
Sure, they could kick, but they don't usually. So it's actually all the way down to the 2. So this is about where you go figure it's a 2-point conversion. And I told you earlier, both these teams are good in this territory. But, hey, UPrep hasn't played a team as good as this, I don't believe. East Nicholas. They've got their play on defense. Lost a lot will be wide to the right, down on the 2-yard line. Zadonis is going to be at a tight. They're going to call their third timeout. We're going to keep it right here. We'll go back to the scoreboard because I don't want to risk a chance that we miss anybody. So it's halftime in Gridley. This would actually be good news for UPrep, I believe. Halftime in Gridley, they're beating Wheatland. Bulldogs lead Wheatland 20-16, so that's good news. Just going to try to make sure we get all of our scores updated. We mentioned earlier that Enterprise 7-0. That one was early. Wairika getting handed to them by Anderson 21-0. So Anderson, you know, they're playing for pride. They're not going to make the playoffs, and they're whipping Wairika. Let's see what else we've got here for you. Well, it looks like those are primarily the scores we've got. We already told you that Shasta was losing to Lassen 7-0, but that one's early. That one's early. Chico, well, that's a basketball score from KPAY. We're not doing basketball tonight, guys. But you can listen to that game later if you want. All right, here we go. Fourth and goal. Here's where the bread is buttered. Youngblood barks out the signals. Gives it to Abel. Abel goes right, then left, and they push him towards the goal line. They want to say they got it, but they didn't. It'll be a turnover on downs, just about a yard short. Ah, they went mano a mano, gave it to Abel. He didn't get it to the right So we scooched back to the left and found no answer, found no room to work.
First and 10 for the Spartans.
So the Spartans take over on down. Again, UPREP has knocked on the door, but they've not made it to heaven. Enterprise now up 14-0 over Red Bluff. The Spartans looking to make it a fifth consecutive Mid-Valley Championship. They're leading 14-0, 4:43 to go. East Nicholas right up against their own goal line. They give it to Stinson, and he gets forward yardage finally. Brought down from behind. I don't know if that was Jake Royce.
JT Stinson out to the 8-yard line.
On the stop, Royce.
And Jake Royce with the stop.
4:27 now on the clock, but he got out far enough to give the Spartans some breathing room now. Again, they're sticking with a pistol, single back. They give it to the single back. Quarterback keeps, actually. He got hammered from one side. Coming across to finish the job was big Justin Zadonis. He's a senior, big kid, 6'2". Up front, the Panthers have turned in some sacks this year, a couple of games. But right now, the Spartans, they did get a little pass happy on the last series. Why not? They were getting some deep separation. They were reading something right. Quarterback gives it right side. This time Stinson kind of picks his spot, but he can't find anything. His Enterprise strings him out, and it's gain of maybe a yard. Still going to be short of the first down, I think. So it's going to be fourth down and a yard. They're going to have to punt the ball away. So good stop for UPREP. McAuliffe, the quarterback, will stand in his own end zone about a yard deep. And UPREP looking for a good return with C. Riley C. standing on the 45. A running kick, a rugby kick. Boy, that's a good leg. McAuliffe really got it off. They called fair catch, but he wasn't able to catch it. So it gets downed on the 46 of UPREP. Well, that was an impressive kick. McAuliffe has skills. UPREP's going to hustle out and take it over. With 2:51 to go in the first half, trailing 14-0, we're going to keep it right here because, as I mentioned, UPREP trying to, you know, UPREP's been down there, so it has to give them some confidence. I mean, you've got to avoid the big play. Each team has turned the ball over once. UPREP has not had the big play, and they're not really a big play offense. It's not the way they're built yet. True Blood under center. He turns around, calls an audible or something, tells his back something behind him. Now he's running a misdirection. C, though, had no room going right to left on a little trap there, and he's dropped for a loss, a couple of yards, in fact. Carter Janus, a senior, big load up there. They got kids 245, 310, and those are a couple of those guys up front. It's second and 11. Zadonis, wide to the right. They're on the left side hash mark, moving left to right. UPREP's backs now. Jake Royce is in there with Abel. Quarterback under center. Looks to throw. The lefty two steps back. Now goes deep and incomplete. That time he overthrew Zadonis, who has great size over there. But the guy that was playing him, Zach Scoggins, has pretty good size as well. I think they were just going to try to go for a little basketball play, and he just overthrew it. UPREP's just not been able to get in the groove offensively. They seem to be taking a long time to get their plays in. And I don't know if they've thrown some new wrinkles in there. I know that they've added more two-back sets. They've gone some wing T, really different looks than what we saw earlier in the season, but still. So now he's in a pistol. And gives a draw to Abel. Abel has room across the 50, the 45, first down, Cole Abel. That was a well-executed draw, and as the clock gets down to 2 minutes and 1 second, they run the chains up. UPREP's trying to hurry it up now. Now time is a necessity. They got trips to the right on the left side hash mark, moving left to right. Lost a lot's up at the top. He's on your left. and then C and two other wideouts to the right. Looking to throw. No drop. Slant in. Complete to C. Splits the seams. And he's across the 30 inside to the 29-yard line. Perfectly thrown ball. They had good defense there. McAuliffe, one of the guys on coverage. McAuliffe and Bendure. And now we're going to have a timeout called by the Spartans. And as C must have hit his knee, must have taken a funky bounce off the turf. That's not the best part of turf on this field where he went down. That's, this turf will be replaced in the next 2 to 3 years. All of the district school turfs will be upgraded. And no word on where UPREP falls in that, but they need a new turf. We know that for sure. We know Shasta does, and you know, so Enterprise does. So we're gonna see those. But that's neither here nor there. It's a game, right? Minute 42, trailing 14-0. Not in the red zone, but moving. UPREP has not been able to punch it in yet, but they've got to be gaining some confidence, at least that they belong on the field there. Not trying to be, well, I guess I am trying to be dramatic. You've got to have some confidence. Well, they got to play now. Abel's the lone back. He's going to be just to the left of True Blood, who's in, he's about 5 yards deep in a shotgun or the pistol. They have trips to the right. They're on the right side hash mark. So the wide field, they give another draw to Abel. Abel battles across the 25 down to the 20. Tough yards for Abel. Aaron Olestrin, Gabe White stopping. Did he get the first? No, he's short of the first, so it's going to be second down, 1 yard to go, a minute 20 on the clock. Again, in the shotgun of the pistol, single guy to his left. Again, the draw to Abel. He has room to the left. The same two guys wrap him up. This time he's got the first, down to the 13. So they're getting some terrific trap blocking up front there. On that left side, that's Anai is over there. And, of course, Cheeseman, the big center. It's working. C goes in motion right to left. Little misdirection. Abel gets it again. This time he's hit and dropped, but again got forward yardage. That was Garrett McCray, a sophomore, who dropped in there. Good tackling. They execute on defense and offense. The Spartans, good tacklers. Second down, 7 from the 12. Looking to throw towards the end zone. At the goal line, touchdown, Lostelot. It was a slant in. York was on him. He zipped it right there, Lostelot. He won that one in the weight room. He battled his defender for it and was able to take control and fall into the end zone for the touchdown. And we have a football game with 36.3 to play in this opening half. And now they're going to go for the kick. True Blood lining up to kick the point after. I don't know. I smell a two-pointer. We'll just have to see. True Blood's a lefty. C holds. Snap is down. The kick is up. And it is good. Well, there you go. So, lost a lot. Ninth touchdown catch of the year from his buddy Trevor Trueblood. And it's now a 14-7 East Nicholas lead. UPREP taking advantage, finally getting into the end zone. And they showed they were waiting on that slant. They were setting it up, using the draw to soften things up there. Now, we know East Nicholas can turn in a big play, and that is what I guarantee you, the special teams coach, Dustin Fortenberry, is telling his troops over there, don't mess around. Stay in your lanes, bro. Stay in your lanes. So the ball is placed in the 40. Of course, that is where it goes. Jake, don't call me Jerry Royce. It's kicking off. No relation to the great Dodgers pitcher I was told last time. He's a right-footed kicker. Puts toe to leather, and it's a high one, kind of an onside kickish at the 40. It's fielded, and a big hit as he fielded it. Boy, C just pummeled the guy that was catching it. Devarius Robinson, the senior, showed some guts catching that one. They were hoping to jar that ball loose and get in, get a break. But either way, they give East Nicholas some pretty good territory here with 35.2. East Nick will have it first and 10 on the 32-yard line. So they set up, they huddle on the East Nicholas sideline for the first play. So let's see if they go into a hurry up here. They have timeouts. They have two left, I think. So they'll be just inside the left hash mark, moving right to left. Bit of a prevent here. University showing four deep defensively. Three on the line. That's who they, who, how many they rush. McAuliffe. McAuliffe sees some room up the middle. So he races towards the sideline, picks up four. He's pushed out of bounds there by Zadonis, who was on the chase. Wise play. That was an experienced quarterback play. I mean, he's, you know, for McAuliffe, the stats are deceptive because he doesn't average quite as much per carry, but I shouldn't say they're deceptive. I mean, the kid averages 7.4 a carry. He's a good runner. And you heard UPrep's head coach at Trueblood talk about that, that he's a very good runner. He's good size, too. List him at 5'10". He's an honest 5'10". Alone in the backfield, shotgun, rolling right. Has a man complete across the 45 of UPrep, down to the 36.
15. Ostro with the catch. Brought down by number 4, Riley C.
Clock is ticking, 20.2. They've got to rush the chains, and when the chains get there,
that'll set up another first down.
They will start the clock, and they do. Tom O'Callaghan, the dad of Ryan, looks at the clock as he calls timeout. They'll probably put another second back on it. So with about 15 seconds to go, I believe they're going to use a timeout. Let's see. Let's see what O'Callaghan's doing. I'll tell you, Coach Youngblood is not happy, but now he's going to say, okay, it's a timeout. So Coach Youngblood pulls in his troops along with the rest of his team. He's going to tell them he's getting the water kids off. Now he's going over to talk to the officials. He wants to know. He never got a good indication that it was a timeout. I kind of figured that out. I think they're going to add a little time onto the scoreboard. He's sitting next to us, so they're going to put it at 18 seconds, it looks like. That seems like a lot. He was looking at it, though, O'Callaghan was, before he blew his whistle. So there'll be 18 seconds on the clock. I believe that's East Nicholas' last time out. Is that East Nicholas' last time out? I think so. And so, first and 10, they have the ball on the 36 of UPrep. McAuliffe in the gun, all alone in the backfield. He's a right-hander, rolls left, dumps it incomplete down the left sideline again. He didn't get what he wanted. Good coverage over there. Intended receiver. Yeah, maybe it was Stinson, but I think he didn't like what he saw, so he threw it away. Here's a kid who's only thrown a couple of interceptions all year, so he makes good decisions. Still has 12.9 seconds, and it's only second down. Fresh bodies up front. Nye comes back in to look to bring some pressure. They're only rushing three in nickel coverage here. Which, since nobody's at home to block, that means McAuliffe is all alone. They send a man in motion, fake the reverse, right sideline up for grabs. Is it complete? It is. Complete along the right sideline, just inside the 25. Excellent catch over there by Stinson. And 8.5 seconds on the clock now, which... Well, if you work the sidelines like that, that can be an eternity. Their two plays came off tackle or were toss sweeps and kicking the sidelines and racing to pay dirt. Now, I doubt you would see a toss sweep here unless they tried to run something short side. Short side is the right side. They're moving right to left. The play has been called in. David Earhart, one of the receivers, is in as well. Looking at the clock is Stinson, who's one of the backs. He's actually going to go wide to the left now, and they're going to use too much time. Yeah, I was wondering. It was as if they had called a timeout. They were just, once they huddled over there, there was no hustle, and I think that's just, you know, maybe a sign of East Nick not used to being in a tight game. Who knows? Now they've got a tight end to the left, still right side hash mark. He sends a man in motion right to left. And, uh-oh, that's going to be offside. So somebody, that was Barker, who was at the tight end, and they're going to throw another flag. And so still 8.5, but all this is working positively for UPrep. Out of character for East Nick. But East Nick has the big play capability. We know that. No, still three up front on the rush. No, they're showing blitz. Maybe they're just showing it. Looking to throw. Across the middle. Underthrown, or it was just a missed route. C was on the coverage there of David Earhart. It was only one receiver where the ball was thrown, but he went deep. And the throw was inside him, down around the 20, so it's incomplete. Sets up with 4.3 seconds. Still just second down. But East Nick's just, they're milking that clock. I mean, they're not milking it. I mean, they're pushing the play clock. Neither of these teams likes to rush, though. Rush the play. No one likes to hurry it up. Neither of these teams do. Okay, they go Canadian football on us for a second. They put two men in motion, reset, and we're going to have offsides. I don't think they were set. So I think it's going to be procedure against the offense. They moved one man in motion, the kind of thing they like to do, set him over off to the right side. And then another man set as an up back behind the quarterback, but he didn't get set quickly enough. It was just basically illegal motion, illegal shift. If they both had gotten set, again, only 4 seconds on the clock. Quarterbacks alone. They have wings on each side. They're tight in their setup here, so they could run the ball. They're not going to. Throwing left side. Underthrowing now. That time he just missed his receiver, Stinson. But it still doesn't end the quarter. Doesn't end the half. 1.1 seconds, so they get another shot at it. And with UPrep showing all that room up front, heck, I wouldn't be surprised to see Barker get a draw play here or something. We know he can run a long way. It's on the 39. Barker is next to the quarterback. They actually have two backs in now to block. Looking to throw as the horn sounds. Down the left sideline, and it is complete, but short of the touchdown. It was battled. It was a mano over there. Earhart battling with Uribe down there on the coverage. And see, terrific stop. They got the completion, but the horn sounds, and the half ends with UPrep. Still beating. Their heart's still pumping. They are trailing 14-7 against the big red East Nicholas Spartans. This is the game of the week. We go to halftime on KCNR.
Tobacco and Brew, located at 2143 Hilltop Drive, has been an integral part of our community for over 40 years. They have supported the veterans, law enforcement, fire and disaster survivors throughout this whole time. Tobacco and Brew has expanded their walk-in humidor and brought to the North State new lines of fine cigars, pipes, and tobacco products. Additionally, they are offering a pipe bar to try out new tobacco for taste and aroma. Tobacco and Brew is your one-stop shop for any tobacco product and accessories to include lighters, humidors, pouches, and more. Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive.
My name is Mike Gutierrez. I'm a 40-year resident in Shasta County, and I served honorably and proudly in the United States Marine Corps from 1967 to 70. with a tour in Vietnam. My experiences and lessons that I learned in the Marine Corps continue to benefit me even today. Semper Fi.
Shasta Regional Medical Center thanks you for your service and your sacrifice. United in care.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
Your friendly oil change.
At Premier Oil Change, we pride ourselves in efficiency and customer service. We love to hear what our guests have to say about us. Mary said,
"Best service yet, guys. Thanks."
Jean commented,
"Always polite, friendly, fast, and efficient."
Pat wrote,
"The crew is always friendly, and they get me in and out."
Lindsay said,
"We always come here, amazing and fast."
Come experience Premier Oil Change for yourself. Our trained technicians will take care of your maintenance while you wait in the comfort and safety of your vehicle. Enjoy free beverages and Wi-Fi while we do the rest. No appointment required, just drive in. Stop by a Premier Oil Change near you today. Visit us in Palisadro. Premier is in the Holiday Market Shopping Center or in Redding on Lake Boulevard next to Waterworks Park. Both locations get you a free car wash with every oil change. Premier Oil Change, home of the friendly oil change.
Premier, your friendly oil change. Premier, your friendly oil change.
Come on. Let's sit down together at the Black Bear Diner on Highway 5 in East Cypress and Redding. Stop by for a family-friendly atmosphere, bear-sized portions, and expansive menu. Enjoy breakfast all day with bear-sized portions of their hearty Bigfoot chicken fried steak and eggs, scrumptious bear claw French toast, and signature sweet cream pancakes. Good food, good friends, good times at a place that feels like home. The Black Bear Diner in Redding.
Black Bear feels like home.
You're listening to High School Football on KCNR AM 1460.
Well, we've got a game at halftime for the Mid-Valley Conference Championship. Of course, East Nicholas is dominant, so they have been for many years. They're trying to win yet another league championship. They've won four in a row in the Mid-Valley. But you prep Panthers, and we had this one circled on the schedule because we felt like it may be the statement game for Darren Trueblood's program here. It is 14-7 at halftime, and I'm just going through the season to see what the scores are at halftime in the East NIC games. And I'm almost done doing that, but give me just another looking at the last couple of games that they had. We'll run those down for you. Two long touchdowns in the first two plays from scrimmage. And that's what kind of threw the shocker out there. But UPrep didn't stop there. They didn't lay down. They didn't quit. And so I think that was the shocker, you know, was that they could have kind of, I don't want to say quit, but they could have been so demoralized. But they got a turnover of their own. They got close down to the goal line a couple of times. So here's what it is. Here's what at halftime. This is the second time that they've been in a game, that there's been a close game at halftime for East Nicholas this year. In their opening game of the season, they trailed 14-10 at half to Paradise, and they wound up losing that game. That's the only time they trailed at halftime this year. Since then, they have outscored opponents 127-128-168 to 12 in the first half before tonight. So they have outscored opponents 180 to 20 in the first half this season. Only once have they been held. No, they've been held. They were leading, looks like, was it 12-0 at Mount Shasta? That doesn't seem right. We'll just have to double-check that one. But at Shasta, they were leading 13-0 at half, but then came out and scored 35 in the third quarter. This is about as tight as it's been. This is since their first game of the season. So how will East Nicholas, the champions, the big dogs, how will they respond? If you're UPrep, you have to know they will come out looking for Bear. And the Panthers have got to be prepared defensively. Looks like they did make some adjustments after those first couple of long touchdown runs by Mitch Barker. All right, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we'll run down some scores and then set up the second half. It's the final game of the week of the year. East Nicholas leading UPrep 14-7 at halftime on KCNR.
Alan Gordon, Coach Master Collision. She had minor damage to her rear bumper. I wrote her an estimate. Later, I received a call. The lady responsible for the damage wanted to pay for the repairs out of pocket. Her insurance agent told her a claim would raise her rates for years. With our experience in the claim process, I explained to her most insurance companies would forgive a claim if the cost was below a minimum amount. I suggested she contact her insurance agent and have them review her policy. She called back very excited. It appeared her policy did extend forgiveness. They would pay for the repairs and she wouldn't be charged with a claim or have to pay a deductible. The accident would not cost her a thing. She was very pleased. Good thing the vehicle owner came to the right place for repairs. We all pay a lot for insurance. Choosing Coachmaster will ensure you get the most for your money. Let this experience work for you. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Celebrating 20 years in business, Five Star Bank is a community business bank serving small to medium-sized businesses and is a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Five Star Bank was founded in 1999 by a group of local entrepreneurs who wanted to create personalized banking services inspired by shared vision and goals. Today, Five Star Bank is among the top 5% of performing banks in the nation for banks of its size. Five Star Bank proudly serves farmers, ranchers, and growers in the agricultural community, commercial real estate developers and construction, those who lead nonprofits and churches, and entrepreneurs in emerging technology. Five Star Bank is also committed to small businesses through a robust SBA department. They understand that when it comes to business, timing is critical. Their sense of urgency and speed to serve are part of the foundation of their success. Visit fivestarbank.com and visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Signs. That's right. Wonderland Signs has your signs. Big signs. We do them. Vehicle wraps. We do them. If it's a sign, we do them. Vinyl, paint, 3D murals, big, little, inside, outside, every sign you could want.
Sorry, Bob. Could we sign a monster truck read? Could you do that again?
When you need sign work, Wonderland Signs is the one. Featuring the highest quality materials, longest warranties in the area, all at competitive prices. Wonderland Signs quality can't and won't be beat. From vinyl architectural to banners to magnetics, from 3D to vehicle wraps to sandblasted to murals. If it's a visual message you want to send, we can deliver. Plus, being that we are fully licensed, bonded, and insured contractors, we can install them and other sign shops can't. We even offer financing on many sign types. Check us out online at WonderlandSigns.com or come by the shop on South Market and meet the Wonderland Signs staff.
Mention this ad and get 50% off any pair of magnetic signs.
Wonderland Signs, now celebrating 33 years in business in the North State with amazing attention to detail and quality service. Wonderland Signs.
The value of banking local comes in being able to walk into the lobby, see the president, and be called by your first name. Knowing that lending decisions are made locally by people you call neighbor or serve alongside when supporting a worthy cause. There's confidence in knowing that when you place your trust in Cornerstone Community Bank, you not only help yourself, you support the town you call home. Stop by one of our Reading or Red Bluff branches or visit us online at bankcornerstone.com. Cornerstone Community Bank. We invite you to experience how we are moving local dreams forward.
This is Carl on the Bot, and there is only one place you will find a new Sleep Number dual temp layer bed. That's right, Sleep Number in Reading. Be sure to go in and see them in a Target shopping center next to the Vitamin Shop. My Sleep Number is 40 and I feel great.
Right now they're making room, so go in and receive huge savings on all Sleep Number memory foam and I-Series bed sets. My Sleep Number is 55. Go find yours today. Sleep Number in the Target Center next to the Vitamin Shop.
The average adult is issued 32 troopers that, with proper care and just a little discipline, should serve you well during your entire tour of duty on this planet. They're called your teeth. But when your platoon gets out of line, holes in the formation, or other problems, you need to call in an expert, like General, Dr. William Farrell, with decades of experience keeping those troops in line and executing their assigned duties properly and dependably. If you'd rather not be there while he reestablishes order amongst the troops, Dr. Farrell offers sedation dentistry. He and his highly trained staff will whip your troops into shape without any discomfort. And having served himself in both the Navy and the Marine Corps, Dr. Farrell offers special consideration to veterans. Let him take the best care of your platoon of teeth, and they will serve you always. Call 547-5757 or visit palosidrodentistry.com. At ease.
And for a limited time, Dr. Farrell is offering x-ray, exam, and cleaning for just $175. Call 547-5757 to schedule your visit.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Commons Senior Living. I want to share some thoughts from local 53-year teaching icon Phyllis Hutchinson about her experience living here at River Commons.
Absolutely fell in love with everything about the facilities here. The kitchen crew is awesome. The meals are wonderful. I find it interesting as I look around the dining room how every table seems pleasantly happy. I mean, they're not just sitting there eating. There's conversation. I mean, everybody here, everyone that works here has treated me like I am special. I mean, it's just amazing.
Call today for a tour or lunch in a tour and see for yourself why our residents, just like Phyllis, love living here. River Commons Senior Living, 301 Hartnell, or check us out on the web, river-commons.com.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
Wind River Resort and Casino is your place to win.
Play our Electrify Your Life Swipe to Win promotion. Swipe your River Club card daily, guaranteed to win free slot play or one of two Tesla Model 3s. Weekly drawings for free slot play Thursdays at 8 p.m. All winners receive 25 bonus entries into the final drawing on Thursday, December 26th at 7, 8, and 9 p.m. Two grand prize winners to receive a Tesla Model 3. Details at windriver.com. You win at Wind River Resort and Casino.
The Redding Rancheria Senior Nutrition Program provides socialization, transportation, and free meals to eligible Native American elders and their spouses. Our program celebrates Native elders through cultural activities, entertainment, exercise, and education. Elders can dine together here and will deliver meals to those who are unable to attend. The Redding Rancheria Senior Nutrition Program is free. Discover the services available to you or your elders at RedingRancheria.com.
Some things in life you can just rely on, like the comfy fit of a favorite pair of jeans and the tried and true performance of a new home comfort system from Rood. So here's to reliability, built into everything we do. Rely on Rood.
Get reliable comfort when the weather turns cold with a new heating system installed by the local pros at Alliance Heating and Air. Call Alliance Heating and Air today at 530-221-2642.
North State High School football comes your way on KCNR, Shasta, Redding.
We're just about ready to start the second half. Boy, they didn't mess around at halftime, did they? We'll get you some score updates a little bit later on from elsewhere. Nothing major to tell you about other than, you know, do we have an upset brewing? What would be a historic win? Certainly it has been a historic season for UPrep to this point. They are trailing 14-7 at halftime, but beware the Spartans, because East Nicholas has the ability to just come out at halftime and thump on you. UPrep did win the toss, so they will get the football to start this second half of play. So they're set to kick it off. UPrep trailing 14-7. They were stopped at the 1 yard line. They were intercepted inside the 10. So they certainly now have some confidence to know that they can do it. Ashton York's kick muffed for a moment, and it's fallen on at about the by Zadonis at about the 31-yard line. That's where UPrep will take it over. So first half, first series, Barker goes 61 yards, 7-0, East Nicholas. Their next series, Barker goes 73 yards. It's 14-0. Was not looking good. Then UPrep got it together. They wound up scoring on a 12-yard pass. True Blood to Lancelot, 14-7. We told you that they were stopped on the one once, and they came up with a good defensive stop with the help of some penalties on the last drive by East Nicholas to come out of that one. So first down, they give it right side. Early whistles as they stand up, no gain there. Big back in the first half was Cole Abel, fighting for tough, tough yards. We don't have any stats, and if I see them, I will steal them from our friends on Twitter. Just County Sports sometimes will have some of those first half stats for you. I know this is their game of the week once again. UPrep trying to do something they've never done. Well, they've never gone 8-1, but they've never beaten East Nicholas. They give left side to Abel. Abel stood up at the line of scrimmage, and he just carries a couple of guys forward about 5 yards. Man, he's been the man tonight. Gabe White, one of about four guys there on the stop. Can't do that all. Well, you can do that all night sometimes, but you're asking a lot of that young guy. They're moving left to right on the field in front of us, resetting here at Gilmore Field. At UPrep, the Panthers with the blue jerseys and the white helmets. East Nicholas, the white uniforms and the red helmets. UPrep moving left to right. Neither team has been quick with their play installation in this game. Both teams taking their time. They give it to Abel. Left side, right behind the guard. Blast through for a first down and then some. Pickup of about 8 down to the 48. Of UPrep. They're near midfield. Lost a lot. They're on the left side hash mark, so he'll be setting up, making it a strong side left. Caden Adams right now is a wing on the right. The quarterback, Trevor Trueblood, looking to the sign for the sideline for the sign. Cole Abel is the lone back behind him, so he has wings on both sides. Trueblood looking to throw. In motion there is Royce. They give it to Trueblood. He hits a seam and gets forward about 6. Nice job by Royce to come off and pick off a closing linebacker. It'll be second down and about 4. Nice pickup.
To the 46-yard line. We'll be second and 4.
Ball across midfield now. It's sitting on the 46-yard line of East Nicholas. Zadonis is one of the receivers on the right side. Jake Royce is the wing there. So Zadonis is tight. That makes it the strong side to the right. Behind him is the wing. Showing a little wing T here. Oh, we got a little bit of a flag. Might be motion this time. The Spartans are pointing at the Panthers. Penalty certainly hurt East Nicholas in that second quarter.
To the
9:09, clock ticking. Both these teams, well, you can tell they're trying to be patient. Quarterback is there, single back, wings on either side. In motion right to left is Royce. He's a blocker. They give it to the big stud, Abel, up the middle. Stood up after he gets across the line of scrimmage. Gets maybe a yard. the help tackle there, JT Stinson. He was the second guy in there, came in to finish it up. It's going to be third and six. Pretty long six, in fact. Ball pushed now back across, outside the 48. Still in Eastnick territory. Third down. Sends a man in motion right to left. That's Royce. Play action this time. Lefty dumps it off. It's complete to Adams, and he gets the first down. Out of bounds at the 40. Well done. He sold the play action well. So the Panthers moving the chains.
Okay, Adams with the reception. Brings the ball to the 40-yard line. That's enough for a Panther first.
Riley C. comes back in. Adams checks out. C. the senior. Flyback. Again, they're getting the sign. It's hard really to explain the East Nicholas defense because they show about six guys up front, and then you have to see how many are down. Four are down. They've got an up backer on the left side. They give it up the gut to Abel. He's spun around, but he got pot a set of yardage. Again, he just keeps getting good yards moving forward. Tyler Nowak, the stop for East Nicholas. Inside the eight-minute mark now. There's basically one grandstand here at this game, at this stadium. And so the East Nicholas fans and their cheerleaders to the northwest side. Just a little bit down from them, U Prep. We got a flag, and we may have illegal motion there. They were trying to do a little toss sweep on the reverse to see. They're going to mark it off. So it'll be second down and about 12. So they kind of, second down and 11, let's call it. Yeah, we'll call it 12. Let's be honest. They got to get to the 30 of East Nick. Second down, the ball's placed on the 42.
Just outside the chains.
Again, the signs, the play's being called in. Coach Trueblood is calling in the plays. They have it now. Under center, two backs this time. Send a wing in motion from the left. Toss sweep, looking to throw. He dumps it off to Trueblood. They did a little flea flicker. It's incomplete. So Riley sees he's been pretty effective on that. He's 3 out of 6 on it coming into the game. And they picked up about, 20, 23 yards every time they've completed that one. That time he just kind of underthrew it a little bit because Trueblood was open over there. So they have trips to the right. That's to the near side on us, moving left to right. Showing, again, looking like they're still zoning up over there. Let's see. On those three receivers. UPrep taking their time. Again, looks like they must have installed a bunch of new plays this week. It looks like Uribe, top of the screen, or top of the field to left. They give it to Abel on a draw. Not much to show for it. He's going to be short. It's going to be 4th and 10. And let's see what they elect to do. And they're going to go for it. Might as well. I mean, you could punt it, punch it back. I mean, we've seen that a couple of times that Trueblood is able to do that. They should have downed one on the one, but the good return team coverage blocking by East Nicholas kept them from getting to the ball, but then they did down another one inside the 10. The Trueblood's going to show shotgun here. They have trips to the right. Looks like they are going to go for it. I don't think he's going to fake it. Now they're trying to get him to do something. Uribe shuffles to his left side. Now goes in motion left. The lefty is going to throw. Down the left sideline. That's Uribe! Overthrows him incomplete. Oh, my. Uribe and his speed. He wound up just missed the mark. Trueblood knows he had him there, and he has his hands on his hips. It'll give the ball to East Nicholas on downs, but, boy, they got Trueblood moving in motion and up that sideline, and Trueblood just had a little bit too much juice on it. Again, a positive. They moved the ball. A bit of a risk not to punch East Nicholas back for showing some love for the defense because the Panthers, since those two long plays, kept East Nick out of the end zone. That is not an easy thing to do. So Eastnick takes it over, working out of the shotgun this time. Low snap, but he's going to keep it going right side. McAuliffe, boy, he gets hit a yard back of the line of scrimmage. Maybe gets there. That was Brendan Nye, the stop, junior, 6 foot, 160. He's a two-way player that's going to be big next year for them. He might have actually scooted just across the original line of scrimmage, so we'll call it second and 9.5. I can do that. I'm allowed. So you have a slot to the left. A wideout Earhart is pretty close, so they're showing sweep, and they do give it to the sweep to the left side. Leaping forward and stopped there was big guy, Aaron Alestra. Didn't get a lot, but it looked good, but the stop was even more impressive for UPrep. So the Panthers, after those two long plays, have really bowed their necks and gotten tough against Big East Nicholas. It's kind of one of those things where you had to kind of look each other in the eye and say, hey, we're losing 14-0, but there's a lot of football left. And they were losing 14-0 midway through the first quarter, quite literally. Going to throw here on 3rd and 6. Has a man complete, but just behind him, incomplete. Coverage in the secondary there was Cade Meyer. Just a little bit behind him, so they are going to show punt here. We saw McAuliffe has a powerful leg. It's the wise play. It's 4th and a long 6. And McAuliffe will be punting, standing on about his own 32, maybe 33. C is back. He's one of their do-everything players. Riley C, the little senior. A running punt. Fielded at the 23 by C, and he is immediately dropped. Terrific coverage on the special teams play. Brought down by Aaron Alestra, the senior, 5'10", 180. These two teams, boy, they're tackling. Really, those first two series, UPrep has played right with them. Been a step ahead of them at times. So two good, well-matched teams, it appears. So UPrep will take it over. 1st and 10 on their own 25. 4:55, the clock currently not running after the punt. UPrep trailing 14-7. They give it off right tackle, following one or two blocks there is Caden Adams. You know, Adams averages almost 7 yards a carry. So it just happens to be one of those nights where Abel has been the guy that called his number, but you know, Royce averages over 5 yards a carry. And they do like to throw the ball a little bit. UPrep. Second down and 7. Right side hash mark. Single back out of the shotgun. Looks to throw quickly left in the flats to Lost a Lot. Lost a Lot complete, but they were right there this time, not giving him that much room to work with. Gets back near the original line of scrimmage. Ashton York on the stop, a senior, 6 foot, 165 pounder. In the first quarter, they were getting that pass out to Lost a Lot. Big, he's a big target. 6'2", 275. They were getting it out to him because the Spartans were giving him some room. They were kind of zoning off of him, boxing him off, leaving everybody else to single coverage. So they obviously feel as though they can cover Zadonis, for example, single coverage. They move Zadonis in, tight right, wide out. Two backs this time, going to throw, using those backs to block. That's Zadonis flaring out right side. It's complete at the 50. He's down near the 40-yard line. It'll be marked at the 40. First down, UPrep in East Nicholas territory. Boy, did they set Zadonis up on that one nicely. Just a nice little down out, a little slant out towards the sideline. Got him in some single there. They read it well, and it was a nicely thrown ball by Trueblood. 3 minutes and 25 seconds. Okay, everybody get in the sign. all on the same page. Right side hash mark, now in East Nick territory. Single receiver to left. They send C in motion left and give it up the gut to Abel. He stood up and hit. Boy, he's going to have some bruises tomorrow because these Spartans are not letting him off lightly. They're not just letting him fall over up there. I got to tell you, he's getting some tough yards inside. That's the big hoss's job. It'll be second down. He got three, a good three. Ball placed around the 37-yard line. Again, two backs. Abel's the up back. They give it on a reverse to C, going to his left. Cuts inside the blocker there. Eludes another tackler, showing his moves this time. Mitch Barker got boxed out. He came flying through from the linebacker and got blocked away, and it was well read that time. In the first half, they weren't reading that all that well, and that time C saw. Gets the yardage down near the first. They need to get across the 30. Inside the 30, the ball's placed just outside 30, so third and one, clock down already to 2 minutes here in this third quarter. I think that's what Darren Trueblood wants. He wants another score. They give it inside, and it's a first down. No. The ball hit the ground. They stripped it. I thought they were giving it inside to Abel, and the handoff never happened. So the second turnover of the game for UPrep, recovered by East Nicholas. And I think Abel just had too quick a step to that line, and by the time Trueblood swung around, he placed it on his hip, and that hip just kept moving. So the Spartans take over the second turnover of the game. So that is the second time a turnover has ended a nice drive for him. That's Mitch Barker. He goes off right tackle, picks his way forward for about eight. Haven't heard a lot from him since those first couple of drives. Lost a lot on the stop. Actually, that was Uribe and Royce on the stop. Uribe on the defensive right side corner. Four men up front for UPrep now. They send Earhart wide to the left, moving right to left. Again, shotgun. They fake a toss and then zip it over on a screen right side. Immediately well read over there. And, in fact, that was a dangerous play because it was UPrep's penetration reading the reverse or looking for something. And I'll tell you, they weren't that far from being able to bat that down. So it's a loss. Now it's third and five. Ball back again inside the 40, back to the 39. UPrep's defense, their scheme has been good. You have to give Scott Lee credit and his kids because the defensive coordinator and Darren Trueblood's young team have really stepped up. Closest game East Nicholas has been in a while. Rolling left, throwing, man-to-man coverage. It's incomplete down inside the 30. Uribe was on the coverage. The intended receiver was Earhart. It was man-to-man. They're trying to take advantage of a size mismatch there. But you've got to give Uribe credit. He was just there. He was on his man. And Earhart was left having to try to kind of bat the ball away almost. Dejectedly heads to the sideline on the incomplete. They're going to have to punt the ball again. It's not something East Nicholas does that often. But boy, they're kicker McAuliffe is good. He's a good three-way player. Runs and it's a line drive kick. He's going to take this one. Uh-oh, muffed it. And it's down at the, or just lightly fumbled it. We won't call it a muff. At the 27. 20, they'll mark it at the 28. And that is where UPrep will take over. First and 10, their own 28. 16.7 remaining here in this third quarter. It's still 14-7. How about this? Did you think... Man, I really believed we were going to have a finishing game this season like this. And much like last week's thriller, West Valley escaped with a win over Lassen. Who will escape this one? with the Mid-Valley Championship. Single back, True Blood under center now. The lefty on a slant, and it is complete. Down at the 35, and then forward progress. He gets pushed back, but Zadonis was over there. They hit him for a nice pickup on that last drive before it fell. It came up short. And that's going to be the final play of the third quarter of action. Hold up Four Fingers fans, because that's what it has come down to. It's a historic battle here at University Prep as they have taken East Nicholas to the fourth for a shot at the league championship, something nobody's done in a long, long time. It is 14-7. Taking a break as we head to the fourth on KCNR.
Experience what it's like to be an archaeologist, biologist, or astromathematician in Turtle Bay's Mystery of the Mayan Medallion on display September 28th through January 12th. Delve into science, language, history, and mathematics in this hands-on immersive treasure hunt of an exhibition. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
Do you have your dad's dimples, your mom's curly hair? What makes us, us? Explore genomic science in Turtle Bay's newest expedition, Genome, Unlocking Life's Code, on display September 21st through January 2nd. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
You're listening to High School Football on KCNR AM 1460.
You ready for some football, folks? Welcome back to Gilmore Field at University Prep for the fourth quarter of tonight's season finale. The Panthers in the regular season finale trying to be the first team in a long time to beat East Nicholas in this league. They've never beaten them. They haven't beaten them yet, that's for sure. They're not have not led in this game. They trailed 14-0, but their defense has played well since then. And now, again, they're trying to move the football. The inside guy all night tonight has been Cole Abel, and on second down, the first play of this fourth quarter, he picks up a yard. It'll be third and three. UPrep now moving right to left on the field in front of us. You're on the right side hash mark. They had a good drive going there last time, but they, on a critical third down play, the ball got little miscom on the handoff, and it was recovered by the Spartans. Spartans have taken advantage of two turnovers. Oh, they show blitz here, almost defensive offsides. Oh, Abel gets the handoff and bobbled it for a moment, then falls forward for the first. Firing in to try to upend him was Alestra, but Abel just showed that he's able. Good hands, good feet. The ball was kind of bobbling as he tried to get it underneath his biceps there, and he was able to pull it in. Good old tip drill kind of stuff. So it's first and 10, ball on the 44, still in UPrep territory. And yes, the Panthers, I mean, you can tell they've really expanded their offense using more two-back sets now. That's Abel. First down. Follows his blockers. Has the first. Pickup of 10. Across midfield to the 46. Good patience there by Abel that time. And with the Spartans, not used to being in a game really in the fourth. They're usually way out in front. It's going to come down to conditioning maybe. They're awfully good. They're still leading this game. They have led this game the whole way. But UPrep showing them they're here to play. The Panthers, quarterback True Blood, sends his wing in motion right to left, but instead gives it to True Blood. He's met by a... I guess he didn't get the first. Boy, that wasn't a very good... Did he get it? Yeah, he got it that time. I thought he got the first in the previous play. He was just a little shy, did not get the, you know, the very good placement. But, hey, ref's doing a good job. So it's first and 10. Ball now on the 45 of East Nick. Lost a lot. It's going to come up tight on the left. They're sitting at midfield, and they're midway between the hash marks. 45-yard line, that is, of East Nick. Two backs offset in the backfield. They try to go sweep right side, but instead Abel dashes in behind the outside block, and this time he stopped, doesn't get much. Gabe White stepped in from a linebacker. Andrew Ahn was there as well. Now second down and 10. They're trying to Abel's trying to get him to resend something in. I've not gotten the play yet. Coach Trueblood and his son Zach there on the sideline going over stuff. They got the play in now. Split backs, a wing to the right, right side hash mark. Lefty throws left underneath. It is complete. Perfectly thrown to Trayton Lastalot. Good coverage by Ashton York. Nice little zip on that ball by Trevor. Third down, long two. Ball sitting just outside the 37. Uribe back in. Adams checks out. Uribe has that blistering speed. They put him out in a slot to the right side, moving right to left. Now he goes in motion in front of the quarterback. They got trips essentially on the left now. That's going to be motion. Timeout called. Boy, good thing Uribe didn't look like he was curling back, and that would get him in some trouble there. Anyway, timeout's called by UPrep. We're going to keep it right here, third and two. We'll try to get you back to some of those scores that we had promised much earlier, but we didn't really get to that many. So Reading Christian has defeated Greenville. That is a 58-18 final, so Reading Christian moves on in eight-man football, 58-18. Chester beat Hayfork 54-12. Elsewhere, let's see what we got here for you. Williams leading Hamilton 12-0. Last one we had there was in the second quarter. Chico beating Foothill 44-16. I mean, Chico's already got that top spot sewn up in their division. Shasta, their hands full, as I knew they would. I mean, it's a non-league game, but means a lot, I think, and just you want to see how good. Lassen's really good. That's 27-21. That's in the third. Gridley 35-22 over Wheatland. And now we're back to action. Third and a long two or a short three. They give it to Abel, left side. Nah, they read that one. Three guys greeted him. He's dropped. McAuliffe, one of them. Devin Hatcher, one of them. Andrew Ong also. Ong, a big kid, 6'2", 3'10". So it's going to be fourth and two. So you're in four down territory. So here we go. Two backs, Adams and Abel. Left side hash mark, they need one. A big line up front. Looking to throw now. Down the left sideline. He has lost a lot. It is batted away. Just underthrew him. Lost a lot. Had a step. They had double coverage on him there, but I think Trevor just kind of yipped on it just a little bit. He threw it a little too soft, and he maybe needed a little more zip. It'll go over to East Nicholas on downs. That has happened a few times tonight. All right, let's get back to that scoreboard quickly if we can. Here, of course, it's 14-7. East Nicholas has been leading the whole way. Let's go back to our... we'll go back to action here. How about that? That's what we're feeling. So, East Nick takes over. Checking the clock here in the fourth. 7:44 to go. 14-7. Spartans lead. They have led the whole game. Quarterback keeper. Left side, McCullough follows his blockers. Nicely done. Well played. Picks up nine. He's a dangerous run threat. He's not been called on, and I would not be surprised if we didn't hear his number called quite a bit now. He looks over to his sideline for the sign. Enterprise up 28-14 on Red Bluff right now, as they've answered big here in the third across town in Reading. And Anderson's going to win. They're up 34-6. That's in the third. So that's kind of what we got for you. We'll get you all the scores that we have after the game. This is the game. This is the game of the week, folks. For University Prep, they have never won nine games. They did. They actually were checking the measurement, and they did get the first. So it was a 10-yard run by Gavin McAuliffe. He's their leader. He's going to be all He could be all section. It's just hard to say. The way they play, boy, they're awfully good. So McAuliffe has a fly up front to help block. They give it on a misdirection from the right to Barker, and he picks his way down the left side behind blockers, gets up a few. Did he get – how many did he get? This is their best drive in a while. Picks up four across midfield just outside the 49-yard line. The Spartans trying to man up here, put together a scoring drive that the way things are, you know, they believe would probably seal the deal. UPrep has knocked on the door. They have been close. They have gone for it on fourth and come up just short. They have gone for it down close and came up on the one. Quarterback off the snap. McAuliffe picks his way through. Oh, he's got a first and then back across the 40 inside the 45-yard line. I hate to be the guy who predicted that, but McAuliffe has fresh legs. He hasn't had to run a lot. And they're maybe saving him just for this. I mean, you're talking about a young man who has over 2,400 career rushing yards. And this year has rushed, well, he's probably getting to be near 600. Came into the game with 546. 6:20 to go. Ball on the 35. This time it's Stinson. Stinson, still on his feet. Cuts back up midfield, and he's going to go all the way. They had a hand on him just inside, but it winds up being a 34-yard touchdown run by Stinson. They hit the seam, and he goes all the way. And things just got quiet here at Gilmore Field. 6:09 on the clock here in the fourth. Their first touchdown since the first quarter. Ashton York now here to try to kick the point after. Snaps down, kick is up. It is no good. Wide to the right. Will that come back to haunt them? Who knows? It's 20-7. Now it's up to the Panthers. Can they finish the job? Can they finish the drive? They have moved the football, and outside of those big plays, they certainly have dominated the time of possession. Hey, but big plays, you don't need possession if you can turn in a 61, a 73, and a 34-yard touchdown run. We'll take a quick break. UPrep has their work cut out for them. This is the game of the week on KCNR.
Hi, I'm Rob Burrows from the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center. Come join me as the new host of brand new Battlefield Expression show, debuting December 7th, 2019. Battlefield Expressions is a go-to program providing veterans and their families an opportunity to call in and ask questions and receive information particular to their individual needs. Veterans and their families who sacrificed and served our country. Every Saturday, 9 to 11, here at 96.5 FM, 1460 Talk Radio.
North State High School Football, exclusively on KCNR AM 1460.
Looks like C is back standing, or is that Uribe? C is the deep, nope, Uribe is back there. No, actually, that time, excuse me, they had Omar Pineda because I think they were anticipating they weren't going to give anybody a chance to run a kickback, and they did not. They kicked it out of bounds around the 37. So they didn't get the break they wanted to try to recover anything, but they certainly kept it out of the hands of C and Uribe, both speedy, nifty return men. UPrep has pretty good field position. They have knocked on the door. They've peeked inside the door and only scored once. Big defensive stop needed for East Nicholas. And how long can you ride Cole Abel's back? First down, nothing doing that time. Abel running behind Brendan Nye over there. Cheeseman, no room that time. Got a pretty good spot. I don't think the yardage guy even notices. They did not get a good spot. He lost a yard. The ball's on the 42. Oh, no. I guess that's right where he's at. Excuse me. I think I'm on a slant here. I think I'm sideways. That's all right. Moving right to left, UPrep. Trevor Trueblood, last regular season home game of the young man's career. They will be playing in the playoffs. The lefty throws. It's overthrown to last a lot. had lost a lot on just a nice little, almost a hitch, just a 10 yards down there. But it's going to be third down and 10. It's been a well-played game. I think you've had some good sportsmanship on both sides. It is a physical game. UPrep is a physical team, something they were not necessarily in the past before Darren Trueblood got here. Wing to the left, maybe call him an H-back. They have no tight ends, two backs looking to throw. First down, rolling right, being pressured, got to get rid of it, throws it against the grain, incomplete, and that'll be we know what that one is. He just threw it away. And now a second flag. I don't know what the second flag was. I think pretty clearly he threw the ball, intentionally grounded it. But I don't know what the second flag is going to be, so let's just see. I almost thought he was going to have to throw it right-handed. Because he was getting hounded down over there. It was Grotegear who was on him. Or no, who was that? That was big 300 pounds of Andrew Ong bearing down on him. Okay, so we have two penalties. All right. And we don't have a loudspeaker. Oh, Darren Trueblood is not happy. Looks like there's going to be one against each. Intentional grounding. Unsportsmanlike conduct. And what was the offsetting penalties? Might have been illegal participation. I don't know what the first one was. Whatever the one was against the defense, they offset each other. So it's third and 10. We got that figured out. Third and 10, still in UPrep territory. Big down for Trueblood. Looking to throw out of the gun. Pumps one, now goes deep to Uribe, tips it, and the little guy can't come up with it, incomplete. And they're zoning him out over there. It's going to be fourth down, and with 5:14 to go, I think they're going to elect to go for it. And this is a big down. This is tough. Well, we've seen some nice yardage passes to both Lost a Lot and Zadonis. So you want to try to figure out where they are. Zadonis is right side tight end. He has an H-back behind him, a slot, and two wideouts to the left. They're showing punt. High snap, and the lefty does indeed punt. And it is a very good one. Spirals, bounces at the 28. Going to roll down inside, I'm sorry, at the 18, down inside the 15. And they're trying to tell him down it because time, you need to down that ball. So you stop the clock. 5:01 to go. East Nick takes over. 20-7 the lead on UPrep. This is the KCNR Game of the Week.
Get your car squeaky clean at Quick and Clean Car Wash in downtown Reading. Quick and Clean Car Wash on the corner of Market Street and Eureka Way next to Dutch Bros is open 7 days a week. Fast and convenient, you don't even have to get out of your vehicle. And they even towel dry your vehicle. They accept cash or card with no extra charge. Quick and Clean Car Wash located at 1210 Market Street, downtown Reading. 530-243-4211.
North State High School Football, exclusively on KCNR AM 1460.
Stinson takes it left side. Abel and Lost a Lot there. They whistled it. Forward progress had stopped. It'll be second down. He picked up six. So East Nick moving left to right in front of us. They are on the left side hash mark and send two guys wide, way wide to the right. Now another man in motion. No, he comes up as an up back. They fake the handoff and the quarterback just follows his blocker off left tackle Mitch Barker and then slips past that tackler and is going to go down the left sideline inside the 20. C tries to tip him up and does not as McCullough dives into the end zone. For the 80 yard touchdown run. I see no flags on the field. Well, their big play capability has been the difference. And that was a beautiful run by their quarterback. You got to give him credit. He just followed Barker off the left side. Then when he saw the seam, he just turned on the jets. Fresh legs and good eyes downfield. McAuliffe with a touchdown. And that's going to pretty much do it. 4:08 to go. And they're going to go for two. Both these teams like to do that so they could put it back to 28-7. And we got a whistle. And it looks like it's going to be. That means it's probably going to be against the offense. So, yeah, offside's against the offense. They're going to go for it again, aren't they? Are they? Ashton York is not coming to the game. They're going to go for two again. I mean, the point there is obviously you make up that missed PAT the last time. And where are they going to move the ball? Yeah, they just walked it off 5 yards. And so it will be another attempt at the two-point conversion. JT Stinson to the left. Strong side on the left. Quarterback looks to throw. Into the end zone. It's incomplete. A diving receiver couldn't come up with it. And so it's 26-7, 4:08 to go. Can you prep come up with some magic? Well, we'll just have to see when we come back. It's the game of the week on KCNR.
So what's scorecard scribbling's all about?
I was scared for my life at that point. I remember looking to the right and seeing all the medical supplies there, and I'm just thinking, are they going to cut off a leg? What are we doing here?
I had a coach that would come up to me on the plane, stick his hand out. I knew what he wanted. Who am I not to give them to him? Like, I thought, okay, job security.
We came to the ballpark every day. We knew we were going to win. It's a great experience, a great feeling to be on a club like that.
Scorecard Scribblings with Brent Weber, Wednesday nights from 6 to 7 on KCNR.
You're listening to High School Football on KCNR AM 1460.
Well, East Nicholas playing like the champions they are. UPrep has certainly sent a good message tonight. They trailed 14-7 at half. They have moved the football and played pretty good defense, except now, for whatever reason, those big plays have been happening, and the Spartans have taken advantage of what seams have opened up for them. They go to kick it off here after the last touch, and we've got a flag. I think it's going to be offsides against the kicking team, and they'll have to kick it again. They were trying to do just a little dump kick that basically means you're not going to get a good return, and if you're lucky, the ball gets bobbled and you get a onside kick. 4:08. The score.
We'll do it again.
And East Nick has the lead. They are 4 minutes away from their fifth straight Mid-Valley Championship. But it ain't over yet. This time they onside kick it left side. It's fielded and immediately dropping to the ground to stop the clock is Justin Zadonis. And that's where UPrep's going to take it over. Again, decent field position. They'll take it over first and 10 on their 42. Now's where you're thinking, man, you got to pass. Spartans have an awful lot of interceptions this year. They have picked 13 this season, 14 counting one earlier in the game. The lefty Trueblood gives a draw play to Abel. He drops it. It's batted down. I think he recovered it. But they didn't buy that one that time. It looks like the magic is off that one, that play. The draw play was very effective in the second quarter. Needing a big play. The clock's just running. The clock is not their friend. It's 3:42. 3:35, and it's counting down now. They need a sense of urgency if they can play that way. Trueblood, and we've got some illegal motion, looks like. And it looked like Abel, with the illegal motion, And they'll walk off five. And it'll be second down and 16. And they're sticking with the same play. Twins to the left, right side hash mark. Abel goes in motion, left side this time. The lefty Trueblood dumps it off, trying to set up some kind of screen. It's complete down across the 45 near the 50 to Zadonis. They'll mark it on the 49. Needs to get to the 48 of East Nicholas. They're on their own 49. I hate to get dramatic. This is the game right here, though. Well, it's third down. They'll go for it. This is definitely, we're four down territory in this game, no doubt about it. Trips to the left. Single back is Abel out of the shotgun. Play action. They set up a screen to see, tipped and then received off the tip by Lost a lot, but he's immediately dropped. That could have been worse. It could have been an interception. It was through C's hands and fell into Lost a lot's hands. It'll be the reception for Lost a lot. They were trying to use a little razzle dazzle there. It wasn't what they had in mind. 2:50 now. Time is ticking through that hourglass. C calls out to Zadonis. Those are two of the three guys wide to the right. Trueblood, is he gonna? He's gonna have to call timeout. He's going into a deep shotgun now, instead of the short pistol. High snap. Oh, they were going for a quick punt. I said deep, but they used too much time, and now he's definitely gonna punt the ball away. See, that stops the clock. 2:29. So one thing we've learned is that whatever the Panthers are doing on offense, they're not able to. It doesn't seem to be yet in their DNA to be able to run a hurry up because they're not showing a lot of confidence with the play calls in from the sideline. I know at the beginning of the season they had tried a complicated offense. They simplified it, had success with it, and have been adding things. And you're in a playoff atmosphere now. So you're trying to, if you're there in Trueblood, you're trying to install more things that you believe will help the team be successful in the long run. And look, UPrep's going to be in the playoffs no matter what happens tonight. They will not meet East Nick again because they're in different divisions the way things have panned out. The lefty gets a wobbly end-over-end punt and almost hit off of an offensive player and is finally downed. That could have been dangerous for East Nicholas because it came spiraling down or flipping down end over end and was almost off the foot of Zach Scoggins. Well, it could be the last home game of the season for the Panthers. They won't host the opening game of the playoffs. East Nick will. They've done the job. They've proven they are up to it. They have met this challenge. McAuliffe again, a keeper. And I think you're going to see a lot of that. They're going to just force you prep to use their timeouts. He gets four. Call it five. Clock down now to 1:50. And again, as the UPrep program begins to build, they'll develop. They'll get, you know, more speed players, more big players. I mean, they've got good speed, but not the big game-breaking guys. Shotgun gives it on an inside handoff to Stinson, actually off the pistol. We got a flag down near the point of contact across the line of scrimmage. Spinning forward, got first down yardage. But the flag was thrown there in the area where you might get an illegal receiver. You might get a hold. Let's see. Mr. O'Callaghan is now having his troops mark off a 10-yard penalty from the spot of the foul. And now UPrep, when they need a turnover. This isn't the NBA where you can score three times in 3 seconds. But if they're still in it, they got to strip the football. And protecting that football on the give off the left side is Mitch Barker, holding it in both arms, battling forward, gets seven, maybe eight. They're trying to strip it from him as the clock gets down to a minute 15. You can tell Darren Trueblood is he's not conceding, but he's recognizing the truth here is that he's down 19, and his, you know, whatever timeout he has left is not going to be enough. And a nice hand for Abel as he comes out. He has played almost every snap in this game. Some fans give him his coach gives him a pat on top of the helmet. And what a great game Cole Abel has had. This will be his last regular season home game. It is senior night. They go left side, try to keep it in bounds, but it looks like they got out of bounds. 39.2 seconds now. It's a fourth down play. I would be surprised if McAuliffe didn't just punt it. I mean, unless they're going to call timeout. It's taking an awful lot of time to get this play off. McAuliffe now hustling back in. It's fourth and six. Ball placed at around the 45-yard line of East Nick. They're moving left to right on offense. And quarterback in the shotgun. Now they're gonna run it on a end around right side, first down, out of bounds, and that should do it. Aaron Alestra gets out of bounds, so now they can do a victory formation.
And that brings a first down.
With 36 seconds, 35.9, just to be official about it. It's almost like they're trying to get out of bounds. Are they? Is there a reason why they want to get another score here? I mean, they should do nothing but take a knee. Although I do think UPrep has a timeout left. But why not just take a knee, victory formation? Looks like they are in victory formation now. That means Barker's about 10 yards behind the line of scrimmage. McCall's going to take a knee. Let the clock continue. UPrep's not going to do anything about it. It'll be second down, and that's going to be your game. Good sportsmanship between these teams. McAuliffe is talking to the referee, Tom O'Callaghan. UPrep players and the East Nicholas players hugging. East Nicholas realizing they've done it. They've done it. They've done it. They've won again. They've won for the fifth straight time the Mid-Valley Conference. They've run the table in their league play. They will be the top seed in their division heading into the postseason. Those meetings will happen tomorrow, but they will be the Division I top seed. And UPrep gave them about as tough a league game as the Spartans have had in a long time. It was 14-7 at half. UPrep, though, just couldn't get it across the goal line into pay dirt, and their opportunities were there. They played a tough game against a tough opposition, but come up short. It is a final score of 26-7. East Nicholas escapes with the win. We'll be back to recap the game, and we'll bring you a look at other scores around the North State on this final Friday night of the season here on KCNR.
Don't let your friends call the 800 number.
Call our daddy and the guys at B&T Satellite
for local dish installation and service.
Hi, folks. This is Doug Tooley. There's no greater friend than our veterans. At B&T Satellite, we would like to honor their sacrifice. Don't call the 800 number. Call 241-3474. We are a local authorized dish dealer, a veteran-owned business. We live here, we work here, and we want to honor our local veterans. That's 241-DISH. For more information, please call us at 241-3474.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
Where do you go in Shasta County to get advice on the best type of firearm to meet your needs and how to safely carry and use it? The answer is to join the revolution at locally owned Bastiani Arms. Bastiani Arms believes in a better way to serve their customers and providing them with all the information needed to make the right decisions before and after the sale. They have a large selection of guns and ammunition and always special discounts for veterans. Self-protection is your right. Join the revolution at Bastiani Arms, 2539 Larkspur Lane in Reading, 222-8222.
You know, it can be difficult to find a trustworthy, knowledgeable, and yet affordable auto repair shop. Advanced Automotive is a second-generation, locally owned, full-service repair shop serving our community since 1993, and one of only four AAA-approved auto repair shops in the Reading area. Advanced Automotive has a goal, and it's to keep it simple to have safe, reliable vehicles for our customers and our community. Call or come by to meet the crew who is here to serve you. 244-4423. Advanced Automotive.
Everyone's invited to an evening of fun and all-you-can-eat ribs with all the fixings, plus gun and bucket raffles, live silent, and fabulous dessert auctions. This benefit fundraiser is in support of Friends of the Shasta District Fair and the future of our wonderful fair and event center. Please join us Saturday, November 9th for all-you-can-eat ribs and an evening of fun with friends at the Fairgrounds in Anderson. Dinner tickets and sponsorship tables available at Shasta District Fair and Event Center office or call 378-6789.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living, and wanted to share some thoughts from Dave Setholter about his experience having his mother-in-law, Marianne, move here to River Commons.
Originally, my mother-in-law wanted to live on her own, and she really wanted to be independent. River Commons has really made that possible for her to not only remain independent, but to actually grow and to thrive. There's just such a big difference in her peace of mind and her well-being, and that's what we really wanted. It's really been the solution for her to come here, and it was her idea after looking at some other options. When she came here, it was an easy choice for her. She's really happy she did. She feels like she's home. It's enriching. She's meeting new people, really enjoying herself, and that's really what it's all about.
Call today and schedule a tour or luncheon a tour and see for yourself why our residents love living here at River Commons. Call 221-2121 or on the web at river-commons.com.
Hi, I'm Sharon Clark of Home Helpers. It's amazing to look back at all the families we've touched since 2004, but our clients say it best.
I want to express my deep appreciation for the love and support you and your...
So fortunate to have an organization like Home Helpers.
You never know how much your contribution meant or how greatly you touched our lives.
Thank you so much for helping me care for my husband.
After hearing what it's meant to them, I truly can't imagine doing anything else. When you need help for your loved one, choose Home Helpers. There is no place like home.
So what's Scorecard Scribbling's all about?
I was scared for my life at that point. I remember looking to the right and seeing all the medical supplies there, and I'm just thinking, are they going to cut off a leg? What are we doing here?
I had a coach that would come up to me on the plane, stick his hand out. I knew what he wanted. Who am I not to give him to him? Like, I thought, okay, job security.
We came to the ballpark every day. We knew we were going to win. It's a great experience, a great feeling to be on a club like that.
Scorecard Scribblings with Brent Weber, Wednesday nights from 6 to 7 on KCNR.
Hey, guys, I'm Bob the Drop. Welcome to my podcast. Do you like water? If you do, you're going to love me. I'm pure and simple. I'm talking refreshing. Yeah. Spent 500 years in a glacier. The boy was that cold. I never was and never will be tap water. Nope. Bottled at the source, the base of Mount Shasta. Yep, pure and simple. Naturally the best. You can try me by calling 1-800-922-6227. Mount Shasta Spring Water.
North State High School football comes your way on KCNR, Shasta, Reading.
In the big picture, it was a statement game by the University Prep Panthers, even though they did not win, though games are not measured in moral victories. This is a program that has been trying to gain winning footing, and tonight they entered with an 8-1 record, first time they have ever done that. And Darren Trueblood, who's a championship coach in his blood, led his team into the second half trailing by only 7. They knocked on the door, and certainly if they had been able to push through, this would have been possibly a different outcome. In the end, East Nicholas had the big guns, they had the experience, and they showed they indeed had the heart. Tip your cap and give them credit for the 26-7 win, but the Panthers showed they can be a force in the postseason. Tomorrow is the day that we will hear all of the postseason opening round and, in many cases, second round matchups, as the coaches will all get together down in Red Bluff to have a meeting of the minds and go over the power ratings, essentially deciding what the playoff picture is going to look like in the northern section. But for now, let's look at the games that are still going on out there. We told you this one. East Nick wins it 26-7. They've won their fifth straight league title, and they have reeled off 27 consecutive league wins. And this is one of the tightest ones that they have had in this league. So let's give you an update on some of the scores. Boy, Lassen is rallying. They were down 35-21. Guess what? In the fourth, Lassen with a 38-35 lead at Shasta. Not a final yet. Looks like Chico will roll, maybe a final soon, leading 44-16. That one's in the fourth. At SDN, Bill Choi tells us on Twitter that Anderson has scored again. They lead 46-12 over Wairika, so it looks like they'll have a positive end to what was a disappointing season for the Cubs. Chico, or rather Enterprise, leading 28-27 now over Red Bluff. That's in the fourth. We'll keep an eye out for a final on that one. Let's see. Reading Christian advanced past Greenville in the eight-man playoffs. 58-18 is the score we have there. Also advancing, Bernie winning an eight-man 58-7 over Tule Lake. Gridley beat Wheatland 35-22, so that means Wheatland doesn't gain any ground in the D3 rankings, which could have been considered a concern. Gridley came in ranked 11th behind UPrep, who's 5th. UPrep's going to be in. They finish up 8-2 and 4-1. Their only loss in league to East Nicholas, who have the biggest power rating in D4, and certainly are considered now, once again, one of the favorites to win in Division 4 in the section, or probably the favorite. All right, back to the board. No word from Las Plumas and Oroville, where they're battling for the victory bell. What other scores do we have for you? Well, let's see. We have Williams was leading 12-0, but that was a first-half score. Willows over Winters 21-7 is a final. Big Valley has shut out Princeton 42-0. Chester beats Hayfork 54-12. Those are the scores that we have for you at this stage of the game. Let's see. It's now a final. We'll double-check this. Gridley beats the Bulldogs, beat Wheatland 36-22. Now a final. And we can always recommend check out our friends over at SCS Shasta County Sports. And, of course, you can go on Twitter if you like to do that. Hashtag NorCalScores is a great way to keep up with where the scores are coming in from throughout the North State. So let's tell you how this thing went. The first and only loss in league play in the last league game in this conference, in the Mid-Valley League, that is, for the University Prep Panthers, as they will be in a different league next year. They will be in an actual D3 league, which will certainly help them, I think, in the big picture. They found out right away that one thing that East Nicholas has, some big play guys, and it turned out to be Mitch Barker, not once, but twice. And I'd have to go back and look at the films. I'm sure the coaches would have to tell you the same, but they look like ordinary sweeps, and Barker turned one into a 61-yard run with 10:15 to go in the first, the point after good. And then with 7:43 to go, their next possession, he went 73 yards to make it 14-0. At that point, UPrep bowed their necks, got tough, put it together, and started playing some defense, tackling, doing the job. And offensively, they started to move the football. They had some chances. They got down inside the one. They went for it, lost it on downs. So they got stopped at the goal line by East Nicholas. And at that point, I think the Spartans realized they were in for their toughest game in this league in a long time. With 36 seconds to go in the opening half, lost a lot. 12-yard reception from Trevor Trueblood. The lefty found him, and it was 14-7 with the point after as we go to halftime. In the fourth, that's right, it was a scoreless third. And East Nicholas and UPrep dominated the time of possession. They again got down close. they again had to turn it over on downs, and they fumbled the ball. So two turnovers in the game for UPrep, one in the game for East Nicholas. A 34-yard run by Stinson. Again, the big play hurt the Panthers' defense. Stinson, the other big back, and he had some big runs for them. JT Stinson made it 20-7. They missed the point after. UPrep had some chances to move the football, but again, at that point, just kind of ran out of some gas, I think, and East Nicholas showed that they have championship stuff in their veins. An 80-yard run by the terrific young quarterback, Gavin McAuliffe, when they needed a big play, and especially in that fourth quarter when they needed fresh legs. McAuliffe had not run with the football much, and it looked to be by design. Once they needed to get some key first downs, McAuliffe really took his team over and really led them to the promised land. He went 80 yards, scored. They went for two, didn't get it, didn't matter. With 4:08 to go, East Nicholas had the lead that they would not relinquish. In fact, they never relinquished it, although it was clear through three quarters we had quite a football game. And, in fact, through three and a half quarters we had quite a football game. But in the end, East Nicholas Spartans wind up winning it by a 26-7 final. Well, tomorrow they will meet for the Northern section. They will take a look at the rankings in Division 3 and 4, and they will decide what the playoff points mean. Chico, Shasta, Pleasant Valley, Foothill, Enterprise, Red Bluff, they're going to be in the playoffs. Well, will Red Bluff, if they lose to Enterprise, I mean, it's horrible, I'm sorry to be mean about it, but Enterprise and Red Bluff, one of those teams, can be in the playoffs. And Las Plumas, none of them have won, but it looks like a couple of them are going to get in. Division 3, West Valley, we know they're in. Sutter, we know they're in. They were winning pretty handily earlier. Lassen, great game tonight. We know they're in. Live Oak don't have a final, but they're going to be in. UPrep's going to be in. So who will pick up the rest of the playoffs from there? Paradise deserves a shot. They're undefeated for the first time ever, though they have no league points, so it's not fair because they played a free schedule. Because of the tragedy in the fire last year, the campfire, Paradise was not able to play a league schedule this year. They just could not do that kind of travel and so on. And so it winds up maybe not giving them enough points. And we will just have to see if Paradise gets the proper hand, in my opinion, tomorrow and does indeed get a playoff spot. East Nicholas, Pierce, Colusa, winners, they're going to be in. They've got to sort out the rest of this mess because a couple of other teams in that division, Division 4, are still alive. And, of course, we mentioned already some of the other schools. But those are the big ones. Those are the ones who will find out tomorrow when and who they will play or if they are out of this postseason. So we recommend you, again, you can always look at hashtag NorCal scores. And of course you can join me on Wednesday night when we'll try to have a look back at this season. We'll have some plays of the year if I can get my act together, and we'll replay some of that coming up for you Wednesday night when I bring you scorecard scribblings from 6 to 7. We'll also be live, and I think you'll find this fun. We'll not only look back at the high school season, but we're going to be live from out at the Shasta Roller Derby at the Field of Dreams. They're preparing for their final home match of the season, and we're going to go live. If you've never caught the Shasta Roller Derby, we'll try to bring you the essence of that. It's a lot of fun. Those women are tough athletes, and it's going to be a lot of fun to be out there and bring you the show live on Wednesday night. But this is it. It's the big hoorah for our games here on KCNR for this season. What a year it has been indeed. We have seen some terrific moments. We've seen Shasta improve and come back and have a great season. We've seen UPrep make some somewhat historic steps for them. They improved to 8-1. They could go 8-2, excuse me, to close out their campaign. They could go on to win 9 for the first time. We'll just have to wait and see what happens in the playoffs. West Valley, of course, the most memorable campaign that we followed. Saw them so many times this year. They were certainly up to the task. They finished with a perfect regular season for the first time in their history, and all in the memory of Mr. Wacker, who passed away a year ago. Number 8 lives on in the hearts of them. We wish all of the teams in the North State the best of luck next week. I'd like to thank my producer, Jared King, the Kingslayer, for doing a great job all year long and sticking with us on high school football Friday nights, and of course the Bots for sticking with me and allowing us to bring you these games. And what a memorable year it indeed was for me. I hadn't done high school football in a long time, but I certainly love it and look forward to my next opportunity to do just that. Hey, also, one more note. If you're a football fan in the North State, I recommend maybe tomorrow night, if you don't have plans, head on over to Shasta College. The Knights at 6 o'clock will kick off against American River. Shasta ranked number 7 in the NorCal Community College football rankings, and American River number 2 in the NorCal rankings. And this very well could set up a championship run for the Knights. Certainly would put them in the playoffs if they are able to pull this one off and give them a chance to continue to build on what has been a terrific campaign for them. So head on out to Shasta College if you'd like to catch some football. So many of those players graduated and attended and played at North State schools and in the northern section, so you'll hear some familiar players. And by the way, they also have the Knights Christmas toy drive. You can get in for free if you bring a new unwrapped toy out to Shasta College tomorrow night at 6 p.m. We wish them the best of luck. Again, thank you for joining us tonight, and thank all the teams and the schools for taking part and allowing us into their press boxes. I certainly tip my cap and offer my heartiest well wishes to all these teams heading into the postseason. I'm Brent Weber. We'll see you next time we're on the gridiron. So long. The last game of the week of this season on KCNR.
The species, and we know they're against that. Don't forget, if you voted for Hillary, to have your children spayed and neutered, and if you're under 30, have yourselves spayed and neutered, for God's sake. We're trying to save a planet here. What's the matter with you reckless and irresponsible people? You can't go around making new carbon footprints in your own image where you think your dog or something. Is dog your co-pilot? See, they don't say God. They don't believe in God. Oh, speaking of which, in Florida, in Brevard County, Florida, the sheriff decided to put "In God We Trust" on the police cars, and you'll never guess what happened. Of course you will. Lefties have gone crazy and, once again, need a new box of diapers because they saw "In God We Trust" and worshipers of Satan that they are. They started hissing like vampires with the light streaming through in the morning, covering their faces with their claws extended. They see "In God We Trust" on a police car, and they've got to sue somebody and find an Obama-appointed judge to drive a stake through the heart of God, because they just hate God, let's face it. They hate babies, they hate children, they hate white people, they hate America, they hate God. They hate the police, they hate the military. They love jihadis, though, and they love, it's not they're completely loveless, they just love death and mayhem. Kermit Gosnell is one of their heroes. They want to put him on the $20 bill, I think, don't they? So they can roll it up and snort cocaine with it, but that's another thing for another day. Yeah, I've got a lawyer outside. He says I can't do that unless I get you to sign on the dotted line. And that's where there are some things here. There's one. And we have some of the music. They actually released a thing, and I want to get to this, but it's absolutely amazing. And they've kind of role reversed or something. Like, she wants to stay, and he's trying to make her go. It turns out he's got, like, a man upstairs in a closet or something, and he's waiting for her to leave. They've really changed the song. It's not the same at all. These people have lost what was left of their minds. It's extraordinary. Baby, they shouldn't, you know, I was talking to my friend Mary this morning, and she has a good thought. Why don't you just write your own Christmas song instead of ruining a classic? Why don't you just thinking? I mean, this is like tearing down statues of Democrats from the past, I guess. But we have that. We'll get to that. Completely crazy. It's not the big news of the day, of course, because the big news, well, there's a bunch of big news. There's always a bunch of big news. Have you noticed that Brett Baer on Fox News, it seems like every night, it might be every night, they open the show and they say, we have three major stories we're covering tonight. And there are always three, man, they have little boxes, you know, off the shoulder. And there are always three giant stories. And it's tough because you got a news show. What's your lead? Well, this is a lead story. But wait a minute, this is also a lead story. Hang on a second, I got another lead story for you over here. And it's not the Brett Baer show's fault, it's the world. The world is crazy. There are constantly at least three lead stories going on. And one today is the New York billionaire. Another New York billionaire is apparently, looks like, probably going to enter the presidential race as a Democrat. That's Michael Bloomberg. He is worth apparently $52 billion. You know, he spent $100 million in the last election cycle for the Democrats to win the House of Representatives back. And it's fascinating how there were no news stories about outside money and billionaire money and corruption and how we got to get money out of politics. There wasn't a single story about that. Just crickets from the phony, baloney, corrupt CNNs of the world. And in Virginia, the billionaire money and Soros and Bloomberg poured money, anti-Second Amendment money into Virginia, too, because they must crush this thing called America. They're not with us. They're not on our side. So Michael Bloomberg, $52 billion. He's been very successful. And I think he might have just jumped into the race to make sure that Elizabeth Warren's tax plan doesn't get through. I may not be alone in this thinking, but Elizabeth Warren is announcing $52 billion for one pro... Excuse me. Pardon me. Let me stop myself. $52 trillion. I apologize. That's the number, right? That's the same amount of money that Bloomberg is worth. Is that a coincidence? Oh, see, it's just a billion and a trillion. It's 1,000 times. So she's going to need all of Bloomberg's money. And she sent him, because she's worse at math than I am, she sent him a billionaire calculator, which is really a commie calculator. And it explains to you how she's going to steal all your money that you've worked real hard for, because she's got the guns now. You see, the government has the guns. She's going to steal it. There's going to be a gun to your head, just like Chairman Mao and Bill Clinton. Barack Obama's administration. Who is that guy? That Obama guy. Oh, Ron Blum. Very good. Is that right? Yeah, very good. See, we play games trying to remember all the cast of characters from over the years. Ron Blum, that they agree with Chairman Mao, essentially, that all power comes from the barrel of a gun. And certainly, here he is, Ron Blum of the Obama administration.
We know this is largely about power, that it's an adults-only, no-limit game. We kind of agree with Mao that political power comes largely from the barrel of a gun.
And they put Chairman Mao on a Christmas ornament in Barack Obama's White House, year number one, just sort of a planting the flag, as it were. Not the American flag. They can't find one of those with a miner's hat and a divining rod, but never mind. Never mind that. So Michael Bloomberg, and there are Maoists in the trees all over the place. Trust me, in the Democrat Party. But Michael Bloomberg jumping in, and CNN and their little panel, their little circle fest at the Lucite desk. You know why the desk is Lucite? We'll get to that later. The circle fest at the Lucite desk. See, that has something to do with it. They say, oh, this is the biggest threat to Trump because he's richer than Trump. And those Trump supporters, they just wanted somebody rich. And this guy's richer, so they're going to like him. I mean, this is how their brains work. They have the brains of squirrels. Squirrels are actually smarter than most of the people on CNN panels. It's quite extraordinary. They think, this is what they think, or what they claim to think. And I use the word think very loosely, perhaps like the fourth definition in Merriam-Webster. Amazing stuff. Also, you are all Russian assets. I just want to let you know that you're all Russian assets. And what is it? Tulsi Gabbard was on The View, where blackface, what's her name, Joy Behar, blackface Behar is what they call her. She called Tulsi Gabbard, a major in the U.S. Army Reserve, who's done two tours in combat zones, 7-year member of Congress, a useful idiot of the Russians, because Joy Behar is an opinion maker in America, because the Democrats love for stupid to be out there. The more stupid is on the loose, the better the Democrats do, as it turns out. Good stuff. They are actually, I can't figure out if they are Russian bots. And again, old Whoopi Goldberg, she looks like a space alien. Have you seen her? What did she do to her head? What is that stuff on her head? Was she TP'd or something? Because it looks like her head was TP'd by a high school football team, something like that. It's all wrapped up in TP. Is that what it is? I don't know what it is. She looks like a... I don't really watch that show, as you might imagine, because, you know, I'm normal. But I was forced to watch some yesterday on YouTube, on the YouTube, on the Internet. Thanks, Al Gore. Peace be upon him. Superstorm Sandy. And these people are completely out of their gourds. I mean, they're insane. They're mental. And that, what's her name? Amy Habsburg or, you know, Hunsberger, Amy Huntsman. I know, it's Amy. And the daughter of John Huntsman. And she's very pretty, but apparently she's been brainwashed by the North Koreans. She was on there yesterday and just angry as a Democrat and confused. Well, as a Democrat, I guess, is what's going on. She's spending a lot of time with Democrats. I suppose that would explain the whole thing, wouldn't it? Lindsey Graham is in the news. He's pushing. He's got is a bombshell. There is a bombshell coming. So many bombshells and so few craters in the ground. But he's saying that the Horowitz report out of the Inspector General, the Department of Justice, is going to be a bombshell, and it's going to change everything. Now, we've worn the word bombshell down to a nub over the last 3 years with all the bombshells that weren't. You know, they're just duds. Now, you know how they're still finding unexploded bombs in England and in Germany every now and then from World War II? Maybe years and years from now, all these Democrat bombshells will go off, but I don't think so. They just kind of went into the ground and they're stuck there. Crazy stuff. But Donald Trump Jr. was on The View with Wookiee and, Hunsmer and all these lunatic people. And Joy Behar, my God, good. Can someone gag her? She should be gagged big time. We got updates on, of all kinds. We've got updates on the crooked people that are trying to lynch President Trump up on Capitol Hill. Turns out that the U.S. ambassador to Ukraine, appointed by Obama, who was undermining and sabotaging Trump, and was fired for her efforts. Big conspiracy theories. And Democrats are going around. They just like, oh, my God, a Ukrainian spoke to Rudy Giuliani about the fact that the Obama appointed ambassador to Ukraine was really unpopular. And then Trump fired her. And they're pretending that's illegal or something. It's so unillegal. It's so perfectly ordinary. And I think the reason probably is the Ukrainian official didn't want to talk to the other State Department weasels because they kind of recognized there were a bunch of weasels in their midst, and they were cashing in on the cash register that the Democrats view Ukraine as. And so they kind of went outside channels to go to somebody they thought they could trust, Rudy Giuliani, to say, you know, the U.S. ambassador here is a nightmare, and everybody thinks she's a nightmare. And by the way, she's trashing your president all over the place. And then she got fired. Perfectly predictable and what you should expect. And it's good. I'm going to let Billy Mummy turn you into an ear of corn. It's good. It's real good that she got fired because she deserved to be fired. And that's that. She should have been fired. And they're pretending that's illegal. But now we hear that this woman, the ambassador, U.S. Ambassador that Obama appointed, who has a Russian name, by the way, more Russian ties and Ukraine. How many lines go from the Democrats to Ukraine and Russia? Seems like all of them. Amazing. We have more links between the Democrats and the Russians today, too. They should really just pull up stakes and move over there. Run their whole operation out of there. The media angry with Republican Governor Matt Bevin in Kentucky because he's not stepping down graciously, you know, like Stacey Abrams did in Georgia. Oh, wait a minute. She still hasn't acknowledged that she lost. Lots of irony today just to keep the Democrats confused. 888-630-9625.
There's only one Chris Plant. The Chris Plant Show.
You have to be up in 5 hours, 2 hours, and you haven't slept.
Vicks ZQL Pure Z's is a drug-free blend of botanicals with an optimal dose of melatonin that helps you fall asleep naturally and wake with no next-day grogginess. ZQL Pure Z's. Naturally superior sleep.
You wouldn't use an 18-wheeler to teach your son how to drive. It's too big. And you wouldn't take a family road trip in his toy car. It's too small. But using the Mercedes-Benz Metris cargo van to run your business? Just right. Only the Metris can haul, stow, and tow more than any other van in its class. It has the maneuverability to get through the toughest jobs and fits in your garage, too. And now with 0% financing, it's built around your budget. Because if you can't picture your son behind the wheel of a monster truck or squeezing your family inside a 2-seat convertible, we don't blame you. The only thing you need to picture is where the Metris can take your business. The Mercedes-Benz Metris. With 0% financing and starting at $26,570, it's just right. Mercedes-Benz. Vans. Born to run.
MSRP excludes all options, taxes, title, registration, transportation, charge, and dealer prep fee. Options, mile availability, and actual dealer price may vary. See dealer for details about costs and terms. Only valid on 2018 or 2019 Mercedes-Benz Metris Vans. Qualified commercial customers only. Offer valid through January 2nd, 2020.
I'm Dr. Jeff Gooden, and I treat pain with Salonpas. That's because practicing good medicine is my responsibility as a doctor. For back or joint pain, I agree with CDC guidance that recommends using topical pain relievers first, like Salonpas Patch Large. Salonpas is powerful, FDA-approved to relieve debilitating moderate pain, yet non-addictive and gentle on the body. Look for the green Salonpas box in the pain relief aisle. Salonpas. It's good medicine.
Sponsored by Hizamitsu.
Liberty Mutual Insurance Company presents
and Doug.
Where's the money, Karen?
I'm sorry, the money?
The money you saved by having Liberty Mutual customize your home insurance, so you only pay for what you need.
Oh, that money. I used it to add to my collection of clown paintings. Take a look.
Amazing. Wow.
Liberty, 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 Liberty.
Only pay for what you need at libertymutual.com.
Ordering online? Just click, and your purchase appears at your doorstep. But the vehicles that move your order, trucks, jets, and ships, create a lot of greenhouse gas emissions. That's why ExxonMobil and Synthetic Genomics are developing algae biofuels that can reduce emissions from all those trucks, jets, and ships by half. The upshot? A future where your deliveries are just as convenient and greener. Learn more at energyfactor.com.
You have to be up in 5 hours, 2 hours, and you haven't slept. Vicks ZQL Pure Z's is a drug-free blend of botanicals with an optimal dose of melatonin that helps you fall asleep naturally and wake with no next-day grogginess. ZQL Pure Z's. Naturally superior sleep.
KCNR is proud to announce that we are now live at 96.5 FM, as well as online, and as always, heard on 1460 AM. Weekday mornings, wake up with the Sue McClain News Hour, followed by Free Fire Radio, your talk radio station at the epicenter of change in downtown Reading. 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, the conscience of the nation. Noon to 3, find your financial peace with Dave Ramsey. 3 to 6, the hard-hitting constitutional expert, Mark Levin. Monday through Thursdays at 6 p.m., local shows feature everything from the paranormal to pop culture to unsung heroes of our area. 7 to 9, Ben Shapiro with an expanded program that brings the issues of the day to your radio. And finish your weekday with the Chris Plant Show, 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. KCNR, now on 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, and always online. More than ever, we're your locally owned, community-connected talk radio.
Hi, this is Linda Bott, and let me tell you about our North State Now show on Thursday nights at 6 p.m. right here on KCNR. The first Thursday of the month will be yours truly, covering arts and entertainment and all kinds of fun stuff. The second Thursday will be Michelle Slade, highlighting and interviewing North State heroes. The third Thursday is James Masada and Rhonda Alvey, bringing you all things with Enjoy the Magazine and Enjoy the Store. And the fourth Thursday from Shasta Regional Medical Center is Dr. Orna Gill, covering all things women's health. The title sponsor for North State Now is the Reading Civic Auditorium, also brought to you by the Black Bear Diner, Shasta Regional Medical Center, and Carlene's Restaurant and Bar, located at 1100 Center Street. That's North State Now, right here on KCNR, 96.5 FM, and 1460 AM. 6 p.m., North State Now.
Also, in the here in the Washington metropolitan area, everyone woke up to a giant water main break affecting more than 100,000 people. Low water pressure, boil your water. We're becoming a third world country. Infrastructure is pretty basic stuff. I understand every now and then a water main breaks. They've closed one bridge into the city. We have very few bridges into the city. One bridge is closed this morning, and we got boil water orders for, you know, the population of South Bend, Indiana, which is not as great as the population of the villages in Florida, America's friendliest hometown. Perhaps you've heard of it. But Mayor Pete Buttigieg, he does not preside over a city that is as large as the villages, which is a retirement community, and he's running for president. And it's a great retirement community where, as I understand it, you know, the drug use and STD rates are higher than they are on college campuses, and everybody's got a golf cart and a Panama hat with cup holders, both in the Panama hat and in the golf cart. You got a Panama hat with a, never mind all that. We also have the anniversary of the fall of the Berlin Wall coming up, which is, for those who were around to appreciate that, boy, that was a great day in American history. It was the end of the Cold War, really. It was the official end of the Cold War. And I love asking this of liberals. How many people died fighting the Cold War? How many people died fighting the Cold War? And the typical liberal response is, yeah, that's right, nobody, zero. Wrong. Correct answer, millions. Millions of people died because the communists were crushing millions of people. And, rolling over North Korea, Stalin installing Kim Il-sung, and then the Korean War, the war on the Korean Peninsula, 1951 and 1953, the first major battle of the Cold War. Of course, the Vietnam War was the central battle of the Cold War. Millions died. It was the commies looking to subjugate millions more.
This is the Chris Plant Show.
The average adult has issued 32 troopers that, with proper care and just a little discipline, should serve you well during your entire tour of duty on this planet. They're called your teeth. But when your platoon gets out of line, holes in the formation, or other problems, you need to call in an expert, like General, Dr. William Farrell, with decades of experience keeping those troops in line and executing their assigned duties properly and dependably. If you'd rather not be there while he reestablishes order amongst the troops, Dr. Farrell offers sedation dentistry. He and his highly trained staff will whip your troops into shape without any discomfort. And having served himself in both the Navy and the Marine Corps, Dr. Farrell offers special consideration to veterans. Let him take the best care of your platoon of teeth, and they will serve you always. Call 547-5757 or visit palosidrodentistry.com. At ease.
And for a limited time, Dr. Farrell is offering x-ray, exam, and cleaning for just $175. Call 547-5757 to schedule your visit.
As gun laws continue to tighten up across the country, Bastiani Arms will continue to provide our community with quality firearms, hard-to-find ammo, off-list fully built AR lower receivers, and the absolute best customer service. Get out of the grab-and-go box stores and come talk to a knowledgeable firearms specialist. The good guys at Bastiani Arms are real gun enthusiasts, with two full-time gunsmiths on hand 5 days a week. Right now, Bastiani Arms is stocked up on hard-to-find ammo, 30-30, 38 Special, and 44 Magnum. More people than ever are exercising their rights to conceal and carry a firearm. Seth Stoke has over 20 years experience in firearms and offers CCW classes, women-only CCW classes, and hunter education. Bastiani Arms has everything you need for firearms, and they appreciate you shopping local. Bastiani Arms, on the corner of Larkspur Lane and Wall Street in Reading. Join the revolution.
Hi, this is Chuck Kinney of Shasta Gas Propane. Our company motto is, our customers are warm friends. We are demonstrating our commitment to this motto by helping those in our area that lost their homes in the car fire and are moving onto their property in an RV during the rebuilding process. We can hook up a 120-gallon propane tank to your RV gas system and deliver gas to your property so you won't have to disconnect your 7-gallon cylinder and take it somewhere to get it filled. then reconnect it and relight your pilots. We will deliver and connect the tank at no charge, then discount the price of the propane. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793. We want to help you during this stressful time.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. She had minor damage to her rear bumper. I wrote her an estimate. Later, I received a call. The lady responsible for the damage wanted to pay for the repairs out of pocket. Her insurance agent told her a claim would raise her rates for years. With our experience in the claim process, I explained to her most insurance companies would forgive a claim if the cost was below a minimum amount. I suggested she contact her insurance agent and have them review her policy. She called back very excited. It appeared her policy did extend forgiveness. They would pay for the repairs, and she wouldn't be charged with a claim or have to pay a deductible. The accident would not cost her a thing. She was very pleased. Good thing the vehicle owner came to the right place for repairs. We all pay a lot for insurance. Choosing Coachmaster will ensure you get the most for your money. Let this experience work for you. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Jump in with your best Jack Bruce impersonation. Oh, so many things, so many things. Today, the date today is November 8th. Is that right? November 8th, 2019. Now let's see, let's tick back. Tick, tick. November 8th, 2018. November 8th, 2017. The impeachment effort was already well underway. November 8th, hang on, wait a minute. November 8th, 2016, what happened? It was 3 years ago today that Donald John Trump was elected President of the United States against all odds. All the news media people on this day 3 years ago. We should probably play some Steve Kornacki on MSNBC. No, more people are coming out in Madison, Wisconsin, and Hillary's still going to win. There's one apartment block that hasn't voted yet. And we're hoping that they'll leave home, roll out of bed, their crack-induced haze, their welfare-induced slumber, and they're going to go vote for Hillary Clinton, and she's going to win. She's going to win Madison. She's going to win the county, win the state, and win the presidency. But alas, it was not to be 3 years ago today.
What a strange event.
What a strange event it was. Chris Matthews, who was once an altar boy at a mental institution in Philadelphia, thought it was a strange event. They were all very distraught by this. In fact, they're still not over it. It was very traumatic. Imagine these people having to go through World War II. They just walked through the rest of their lives bugging, just bugging, walking along with their hands shaking and their eyes jigging around in their head, confused by everything around them. These people couldn't have survived. Even just staying home for World War II, they couldn't have survived.
We can now report that Hillary Clinton will not be coming to the Javits Center tonight.
Will not.
Will not.
Will not.
So what do we take from that, Jen?
Well,
I think what we take from that is it's not clear whether the campaign is prepared to concede.
This was great. Well, that's a very gentle way of putting it. She's upstairs eating that pie from, you know, that movie, The Help. She was, did you see that movie, The Help? She was upstairs eating that pie. That's what she was doing. That was her election night. And you know what? She's been eating that same pie every day. Every single day. That pie from The Help is on Hillary's menu every single day. And she gobbles it up because it's all she has. It was so great. Election night was just 3 years ago today. And Sergeant Pepper called the band to play.
The scene here is so different than it was a few hours ago when people were happy and relaxed. I have been looking around the room at people who are stone-faced. Some of them have been crying. We've seen people leaving the venue, including some who have been sitting on the risers behind the podium where Hillary Clinton is supposed to speak.
The backdrop, their backdrop people with their We Love Hillary t-shirts, they were sobbing and tears were streaming down with the clown makeup rolling down, and they were walking out like zombies. I remember, you'd think that September 11th had happened or something, but here's what the problem they had with. The problem they had was they believed CNN. They believed, and I use CNN almost as a metaphor for the rest of the news media. They believed what they were being told by a phony, baloney, corrupt Democrat Party-controlled news media. And then they were lied to. The polls were wrong. Right? Now, what did I say on Election Day? I said, he can win this. Now, it's close. And, you know, they got all the prognosticators and stuff. And there's, remember this, the path to victory and the narrow lane to victory and the big blue wall. Remember the blue wall? Boy, that's really when the big lie, that might be the first gigantic domino in the giant lie. You know, the gurgle lie. The big, because I learned my history from the Reverend Al Charlton at MSDNC. And he made me aware of something I didn't know about. Apparently a member of the National Socialist Workers' Party of Germany named Gergel. I didn't, nobody had ever heard of. He's an obscure figure in the Socialist Workers' Party there. Gergel, Joseph Gergel. And he said, if you make a lie so big, apparently it was in Mein Kampf, too. The leader of the Socialist Workers' Party had a book called My Struggle. And there it was, the big lie. And then he hired this gurgle guy, apparently, and gurgle, 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 gurgle. Make the lie so big. And the big lie started. Now, if you're Democrats out there and you're still thinking there was Russian collusion or that Ukraine phone call's impeachable or something, I just want to refer you to election night. I just want to refresh your memory a little bit on election night with a little bit of refresher stuff, because it's important to remember. Don't have newsheimers like all the anchors at CNN and NBC.
I haven't had time to do a survey yet, but I think Moscow is going to be one of the few places this isn't going to be greeted with enthusiasm. I think it's going to create a lot of worry in the capitals of the world.
Moscow. That was Bob Schieffer of CBS News. There's the only place they were playing the Russia card on election night. There it is. Russia. Now, but Bob, Hillary Clinton's opposition research paper, which you laughingly called a dossier, came from Russian intelligence and Ukrainian sources and was fed into the FISA courts so the Obama administration could spy on members of the Trump campaign. And you think Russia's going to be happy that Hillary lost? They were working with Hillary. They had Hillary in their back pocket. They funneled money into the Clinton Foundation, more than $100 million to the Clinton Foundation. And they were working with Christopher Steele, hired by the Clintons, to put together the phony made-up claims about Donald Trump, because Clinton went to Russia to get dirt on Trump, and then you guys used it. So, I mean, you're the useful idiots that Joy Blackface Behar was talking about here. Just amazing. Election night, they were very upset.
And the mood is somber here inside the Javits Center. A number of supporters have left in tears. I've been walking around. People have stunned expressions on their faces. One person described it as grief setting in.
Grief setting in. They had a glass ceiling there. Remember they had the fake glass ceiling at the Javits Center? And I'd like a little walk down memory lane here. You remember President Trump offered to buy Hillary Clinton's fireworks from her for 10 cents on the dollar? Now, that was some funny stuff. That's professional-grade comedy there. They had bought from the Chinese, of course, unless they got their fireworks from the Russians. Most people get their fireworks from the Chinese. And they had a fireworks display, a barge full of fireworks. And they're like, maybe no fireworks. And President Trump, then Citizen Trump, offered to buy the fireworks from them for 10 cents on the dollar because he thought it was funny. And here's the thing. It was funny. Democrats are never funny. They're just mean and vicious and nasty and vituperative. I said vituperative. And then they lost. And ashes, they all fall down. And they were crying and sobbing and whining. And there were people walking around crying. And it was hilarious. And a lot of us were up late that night watching this unfold. And like, this isn't really happening. And it's really happening. And it's really happening. And they started falling apart on set at CNN and at MSNBC and at the other, at the networks, the commercial entertainment broadcast networks. They were just coming apart at the seams. Here's Bob Schieffer is already talking about how Russia's going to be happy. Why would Russia be happy? That's the stupidest thing anybody ever said. Schieffer, what's the matter with you, you dimwit?
It's hard to be a parent tonight for a lot of us. You tell your kids, don't be a bully. You tell your kids, don't be a bigot. You tell your kids, do your homework and be prepared.
You tell your kids Hillary's going to win. You tell your kids it's in the bag. We fixed it. You tell your kids Hillary's a good person. You lie a lot to your kids. Was that, that was Van Jones? He self-described as a communist, right? And then was brought into the Obama administration. Am I right about that? Those two facts that I'm right about. Those are two facts that I'm definitely right about. 3 years ago today, and they were sobbing and crying. I remember going to bed. It must have been 2-something a.m. to, it was a done deal, certainly, by 1:30. Associated Press had called. I think the New York Times called. They refused to call Trump the winner, but they just said, all right, he won Michigan. All right, he won Wisconsin. Okay, he won. And then they just went home crying because they were crying, too. Amazing stuff. That was a great night. It was 3 years ago today. 3 years ago today. It's a little walk down. And the glass, and they had the balloon drop. Remember, they had the fake glass ceiling up on the Javits Center in New York. Has a glass that's kind of like an atrium ceiling in this giant place. And all the Democrats were there, and that includes all the news media. And one of the great things to watch was, and literally there were almost no news media at the Trump headquarters, because they're like, screw him, we defeated him. We're going with the winner that we helped secure the victory for, Hillary Clinton's headquarters. There's a funny thing. Remember Mark Halperin? He likes to rub his loin on unsuspecting young women at work and threaten them with their careers if they don't accommodate his sexual whims. Remember that? And that went on for years. And everybody knew it. At ABC News, it went on forever. And NBC News, they hired him away from ABC already knowing this. Because they're pigs and they're hypocrites and they're liars. And they abuse women. You know, it's like Animal House, you know. I'm not Dean Wormer, you know. I'm not saying we didn't take liberties with the women. We did. You know, there's Halperin and the people at ABC, they're just like Delta House. It's okay. Pay no attention to the loin behind the curtain. But Halperin was there. He had, of his many million-dollar TV shows, he had one on Showtime with Sieg Heilemann, who comes from a long line of Sieg Heilemanns. And that show from election night is hilarious to watch. And one of the elements that's hilarious, if you get Showtime, you can get them on demand, this show, The Circus. I don't know how you find the one from election night, but it's funny. And Halperin took a break from rubbing his loin on unsuspecting young women at work and went to Hillary's headquarters to spend the evening smugly. And he was sitting there realizing things were going south on him and his party. And he got on the horn and started yelling at a producer to get him his credential for the Trump headquarters, which we then learned he had not bothered to procure. He had not bothered to secure a credential for Trump headquarters. Why would you? So some 20-year-old had to go running around crashing into stuff to find his credential because he was too arrogant to collect it himself. And then he went over to Trump headquarters where you could see the tears in his eyes. He was like that crying Indian looking at litter along the side of the highway. It was very sad and damn funny. Just it was very, very funny. And that was the one they had that guy. Who was that? That twerp from the Obama White House sitting on the curb crying. Oh, yeah, it was Ben Rhodes. His brother was president of CBS at the time. Yeah. Did you see that this guy Bennett, the Democrat from Colorado, who is allegedly running for president of the United States, is a Democrat, not that anybody's noticed, his brother is the editor of the New York Times. Yeah, it's not a circle fest or anything like that. Not a chance.
I just came outside to try to process all this.
Ben Rhodes.
It's a lot to process.
Yeah, it's a lot to process. You're an idiot. I guess you believed liars.
I can't even. I can't.
Take a pill.
I mean, I
open a vein.
I can't.
Find a bridge.
He's
a speechwriter.
Put it into words. I don't know what the words are. I mean,
I do. I can't say them here, but I know what they are. That was Ben Rhodes. He was just, I mean, honestly, it was like his whole community had been blown up in a giant truck bomb attack by radical Islamic jihadis or something. And he'd call them innocent victims of Western imperialism, I think. That was 3 years ago tonight. It was just wonderful. It was great. And there was no, they had the fake glass ceiling, the Clinton people did in the Javits Center, and they were going to fake break it. And then all the glass was going to rain down on their fans and kill them all, cut them to shreds. I don't know. That wasn't a very good plan in the first place, I think. And there was going to be a big balloon drop, and the balloons just stayed there. The balloons. I don't know who got the balloons the next day, but they didn't drop because then you remember Hillary and Bill came out the next day, and they both had puffy eyes, like they just both were up all night finding out they'd been cheating on each other for years or something like that. And they came down, and they were wearing purple. Remember that? Which is, it was a dog whistle to Putin, because purple is Putin's color. The news media overlooked that. Just kidding, I made that up. It's supposed to be, you know, red, blue, purple. But we don't use red, blue. We use blue and gray. And the Democrats are gray, like they were in the old days when they were the Confederacy. And we are blue. Now, I have, you have another fun? Let's see, yeah, let's see.
It is as if the nation is enduring some kind of curse. What should we expect next? That it will rain frogs? I wouldn't bet against it.
Wow. I guess Bob Schieffer was really disappointed, wasn't he? CBS News was a little upset that Trump won. Pestilence. Yeah, well, you know, I mean, I don't know. You guys have been spreading herpes for quite a long time now. Because, you know, hey, herpes raining from the sky. I'm not sure. Whatever you guys have, not sure it'll come off. You know, the nice people at the Danish Christmas Bazaar. These are wonderful people. Every year it's the Danish Club of Washington, D.C. And every year they bring us by a gift basket of guess what, Danishes. And it's wonderful. Danish Club of Washington, D.C. Their 56th annual Danish Christmas Bazaar is tomorrow, 11 to 3 at St. Elizabeth's Church on Montrose Road in Rockville. And we've been, it's great fun. It is a great thing. And they're so nice, they bring things by. And they, you're absolutely right. Thank you. And they also, the people that organize it, they contribute generously to Fisher House, our favorite charity. The annual Danish Christmas Bazaar. It's tomorrow. On the anniversary of the Berlin Wall coming down. St. Elizabeth's Church, Montrose Road in Rockville. 11 to 3. Very nice people.
You're listening to The Chris Plant Show.
It may not be stomach issues.
For me, it's intense gas, or pain, or diarrhea, sometimes all at once, over and over.
I spent years with the symptoms, but could never figure it out.
No matter what I did, they never went away. So I decided to break it down for my doctor and get really specific about my symptoms.
We discovered that exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI, may be the reason for my stomach issues.
EPI is caused by my pancreas. It leads to diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, unexplained weight loss, and oily stools. The symptoms just don't go away.
But EPI can show up with even one symptom.
The good news? EPI is manageable.
But to get to the right diagnosis, you have to break it down for your doctor and get specific about the severity of your symptoms.
Visit IdentifyEPI.com to learn more and use the symptom checker to help change the conversation with your doctor. Brought to you by AbbVie.
Hello, Saver. At Walgreens, we like the way you save on things. Take afternoon matinees. You know they have the same endings as full-price movies. And co-pays on Medicare Part D prescriptions. You can get them for as low as $0 with select plans. So when you choose a plan with Walgreens as your preferred pharmacy, you know you're saving smartly. Walgreens. Trusted since 1901. $0 copay on Tier 1 generic drugs available through select plans that include Walgreens as a preferred pharmacy.
Napa know-how.
Now at Napa Auto Parts stores and Napa Auto Care centers, buy a two-pack of Night Vision Brilliant headlamps and get a pair of Proformer wiper blades free. Because when you put safety first, your equipment shouldn't be second rate. So upgrade to Napa Night Vision Brilliant headlamps and get a pair of Proformer wiper blades free. Do it yourself or have it done for you. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores and Napa Auto Care centers. Some restrictions apply. While supplies last, offer ends 12/31/19.
KCNR is proud to announce that we are now live at 96.5 FM, as well as online, and as always, heard on 1460 AM. Weekday mornings, wake up with the Sue McClain News Hour, followed by Free Fire Radio, your talk radio station at the epicenter of change in downtown Reading. 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, the conscience of the nation. Noon to 3, find your financial peace with Dave Ramsey. 3 to 6, the hard-hitting constitutional expert, Mark Levin. Monday through Thursdays at 6 p.m., local shows feature everything from the paranormal to pop culture to unsung heroes of our area. 7 to 9, Ben Shapiro with an expanded program that brings the issues of the day to your radio. And finish your weekday with the Chris Plant Show, 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. KCNR, now on 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, and always online. More than ever, we're your locally owned, community-connected talk radio.
Hi, this is Linda Bott, and let me tell you about our North State Now show on Thursday nights at 6 p.m. right here on KCNR. The first Thursday of the month will be yours truly, covering arts and entertainment and all kinds of fun stuff. The second Thursday will be Michelle Slade, highlighting and interviewing North State heroes. The third Thursday is James Masada and Rhonda Alvey, bringing you all things with Enjoy the Magazine and Enjoy the Store. And the fourth Thursday from Shasta Regional Medical Center is Dr. Orna Gill, covering all things women's health. The title sponsor for North State Now is the Reading Civic Auditorium, also brought to you by the Black Bear Diner, Shasta Regional Medical Center, and Carlene's Restaurant and Bar, located at 1100 Center Street. That's North State Now, right here on KCNR, 96.5 FM, and 1460 AM. 6 p.m., North State Now.
As gun laws continue to tighten up across the country, Bastiani Arms will continue to provide our community with quality firearms, hard-to-find ammo, off-list fully built AR lower receivers, and the absolute best customer service. Get out of the grab-and-go box stores and come talk to a knowledgeable firearm specialist. The good guys at Bastiani Arms are real gun enthusiasts with two full-time gunsmiths on hand 5 days a week. Right now, Bastiani Arms is stocked up on hard to find ammo, 30-30, 38 Special, and 44 Magnum. More people than ever are exercising their rights to conceal and carry a firearm. Seth Stoke has over 20 years experience in firearms and offers CCW classes, women-only CCW classes, and hunter education. Bastiani Arms has everything you need for firearms, and they appreciate you shopping local. Bastiani Arms, on the corner of Larkspur Lane and Wall Street in Reading. Join the revolution.
Yes. On the anniversary of the Berlin Wall coming down, November 9th, 1989. That's 30 years ago. tomorrow. That's the anniversary. Democrats were very upset. All right, let's take a phone call. We're going to play some more audio from election night, too, because we're just listening to it in the break here, and we're laughing out loud. It is, it's good stuff. And it's good. It's, you know, a little upbeat election night stuff. Democrats, maybe you should put your earmuffs on or something. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Sylvie, calling from Waldorf, Maryland. Sylvie, you're on the Chris Plant Show.
Your discussion of election night 2016 brings back so many memories. And I don't know if you remember that The View also had a primetime show that night on the Lifetime channel. They gave them a slot for about 5 hours because it was supposed to be a win for a woman. Hillary was supposed to win that night. So they gave Joey Behar, Sonny Huston was there. They also had a couple of guests like Lena Dunham and Tom Bergeron and the Miss Universe that alleges that Trump called her a fat pig. Alicia Machado was there as well. And they had two live reporters from the Javits Center reporting. And then when things went downhill and Hillary lost, the looks on all of their faces was just a priceless, priceless moment that I'll never forget.
It's almost T-shirt worthy, just getting a shot of them sitting at the desk with their mouths hanging open. Election night, 2016. It was really a great night. We had a gathering, the Chris Plant Show humbly had a gathering at an establishment where they serve alcoholic beverages over in Arlington, Virginia, and had a rooftop thing and all this stuff. And it was very well attended, and everyone was in very good spirits. And we had had a lot of people there. My friend Gloria came in. Wayne and Gloria, and they've been on a number of sea cruises, and we're friends. And Gloria came in, and she was just pumped, and she said, "He's going to win. There's no doubt in my mind. I mean, it's just hands down. It's over. He's already won." And I'm like, "Well, you're very optimistic." And she said, "Don't doubt me on this. He's going to win." And sure enough, Gloria was right, and Chunk Todd was wrong. Now, maybe NBC should hire Gloria next election day, and she'd do a better job than all of their. At Bob Schieffer at CBS, he thinks it's going to be raining frogs or something, and we're an unlucky country because the Democrat didn't win that the news media had picked, and that may what was a cursed. We're not unlucky, we're cursed. That's what he said. A cursed country because Hillary didn't win. Hillary is a pox on humanity, for the love of Mike. Sylvie, it was a great night for America and Western civilization, wasn't it?
And the world, it was. It really, really was. And it will be repeated in 2020, Chris.
And it will be repeated in 2020. I'm going to have to check with Gloria, but I'm quite confident, too. Great stuff. We've got more audio from the other night. I mean, we just started playing it, and it's getting good to us. So we're going to have to play. We're going to have to play a little more. It's funny stuff.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.